The Song Celestial, or Bhagavad Gita from the Mahabharata, being a discourse between Arjuna, Prince of India, and the Supreme Being under the form of Krishna, the Project Gutenberg ebook of The Song Celestial, or Bhagavad Gita from the Mahabharata, this ebook is for the use of anyone anywhere in the United States and most other parts of the world at no cost and with almost no restrictions whatsoever. You may copy it, give it away, or reuse it under the terms of the Project Gutenberg license included with this ebook or online at www.gutenberg.org. If you are not located in the United States, you will have to check the laws of the country where you are located before using this ebook title, The Song Celestial or Bhagavad Gita from the Mahabharata Translator. Sir Edwin Arnold, release date, November 1, 2000, ebook 2388. Most recently updated, June 23, 2013. Language: English, other information and formats, www.gutenberg.org/ebook/2388 credits. Produced by J.C. Byers. HTML version by Al Haynes, asterisk start of the project GUTNBRG EBOOK The Song Celestial, or Bhagavad Gita from the Mahabharata, asterisk, The Song Celestial, or Bhagavad Gita, from the Mahabharata being a discourse between Arjuna, Prince of India, and the Supreme Being. Under the form of Krishna, translated from the Sanskrit text, by Sir Edwin Arnold, M.A. KCIE CSI New York Truslove Hansen & Comba Limited, 67 Fifth Avenue, 1900, dedication to India. So have I read this wonderful and spirit-thrilling speech by Krishna and Prince Arjun held, discoursing each with each. So have I read its wisdom here, its hidden mystery, for England, O our India, as dear to me as she, Edwin Arnold. Preface. This famous and marvelous Sanskrit poem occurs as an episode of the Mahabharata in the sixth or Bhishma Parva of the great Hindu epic. It enjoys immense popularity and authority in India, where it is reckoned as one of the five jewels, Pancharatnani of Devanagiri, literature. In plain but noble language, it unfolds a philosophical system, which remains to this day the prevailing Brahmanic belief, blending as it does the doctrines of Kapila, Patanjali, and the Vedas. So lofty are many of its declarations, so sublime its aspirations, so pure and tender its piety, that Schlegel, after his study of the poem, breaks forth into this outburst of delight and praise towards its unknown author, Magistrorum Reverentia Abrachmanis inter Sanctissima Pietatis Officia, referter. Ergo te primum, vates sanctissime, numinis hypofeta, quisquis tandem inter mortals dictus tu furis, carminis bugis octor. Cujus oraculis mens ad excelsa quic quic, eterna ac divina, cum inanere quidam delectation rapiter te primum, in quam, salver jubio et vestigia tua semper ador. Lassen re-echoes this splendid tribute, and indeed so striking are some of the moralities here, inculcated, and so close the parallelism oft-times actually verbal, between its teachings and those of the New Testament, that a controversy has arisen between pandits and missionaries on the point whether the author borrowed from Christian sources or the evangelists and apostles from him. This raises the question of its date, which cannot be positively settled. It must have been inlaid into the ancient epic at a period later than that of the original Mahabharata, but Mr. Kasinath Telling has offered some fair arguments to prove it anterior to the Christian era. The weight of evidence, however, tends to place its composition at about the 3rd century after Christ, and perhaps there are really echoes in this Brahmanic poem of the lessons of Galilee and of the Syrian incarnation. Its scene is the level country between the Jumna and the Sarsuti rivers, now Kurnal and Jind. Its simple plot consists of a dialogue held by Prince Arjuna, the brother of King Yudhisthira, with Krishna, the supreme deity, wearing the disguise of a charioteer. A great battle is impending between the armies of the Kauravas and Pandavas, and this conversation is maintained in a war chariot drawn up between the opposing hosts. The poem has been turned into French by Burnouf, into Latin by Lassen, into Italian by Stanislav Gatti, into Greek by Galanos, and into English by Mr. Thompson and Mr. Davies, the prose transcript of the last named, being truly beyond praise for its fidelity and clearness. Mr. Telling has also published at Bombay a version in colloquial rhythm, eminently learned and intelligent, but not conveying the dignity or grace of the original. If I venture to offer a translation of the wonderful poem after so many superior scholars, it is in grateful recognition of the help derived from their labors, and because English literature would certainly be incomplete without possessing in popular form a poetical and philosophical work so dear to India, there is little else to say which the Song Celestial does not explain for itself. The Sanskrit original is written in the Anishtubh meter, which cannot be successfully reproduced for Western ears. I have therefore cast it into our flexible blank verse, changing into lyrical measures, where the text itself similarly breaks. For the most part, I believe the sense to be faithfully preserved in the following pages, but Schlegel himself had to say, in reconditoribus me semper poeta foster mentum, rec divinus affirmare non awesome. Those who would read more upon. The philosophy of the poem may find an admirable introduction in the volume of Mr. Davies, printed by Messrs. Trubner and Co., Edwin Arnold, C.S.I. Contents. I, the Distress of Arjuna, Roman 2, the Book of Diocetiranius, Roman 3, Virtue and Work, Roman 4, the Religion of Knowledge, V, Religion of Renouncing, W.O.R.K.S., V.I., Religion by Self-Restraint, Roman 7, Religion by Discernment, Roman 8, Religion by Service of the Supreme, Roman 9, Religion by the Kingly Knowledge and the Kingly Mystery, X, Religion by the Heavenly Perfections, Roman 11, the Manifesting of the One and Manifold, Roman 12, Religion of Faith, Roman 13, Religion by Separation of Matter and Spirit, Roman 14, Religion by Separation from the Qlites, Roman 15, Religion by Attaining the Supreme, Roman 16, The Separateness of the Divine and Undivine, Roman 17, Religion by the Threefold Faith, Roman 18, Religion by Deliverance and Renunciation, Chapter I, Dhritarashtra ranged thus for battle on the sacred plain, on Kurukshetrase Sanjaya. Say, what wrought my people and the Pandavas? Sanjaya, when he beheld the host of Pandavas, Raja Duryodhana to Drona drew and spake these words. Ah, Guru, see this line, how vast it is of Pandu fighting men, embattled by the son of Drupada, thy scholar in the war. Therein stand ranked, chiefs like Arjuna, like to Bhima chiefs. Benders of bows, Virata, Yuyudhin, Drupada, eminent upon his car. Drishtakit, Chekatin, Kasi's stout lord, Purujit, Kuntabhaj, and Savia, with Yudhamaniu and Uttamaj, Subhadra's child and Drupadi's all famed, all mounted on their shining chariots on our side to thou best of Brahmins, see. Excellent chiefs, commanders of my line, whose names I joy to count thyself the first. Then Bhishma, Karna, Kripa fierce in fight, Vikarna, Aswatthaman, next to these. Strong Samadatti with full many more, valiant and tried, ready this day to die. For me their king, each with his weapon grasped, each skillful in the field, weakest meseems. Our battle shows where Bhishma holds command, and Bhima fronting him, something too strong, have care our captains nigh to Bhishma's ranks, prepare what help they may, now blow my shell. Then, at the signal of the aged king, with blare to wake the blood, rolling around, like to a lion's roar the trumpeter, blew the great conch, and at the noise of it. Trumpets and drums, cymbals and gongs and horns, burst into sudden clamor, as the blasts, of loosened tempest such the tumult seemed, then might be seen upon their car of gold. Yoked with white steeds blowing their battle shells, Krishna the god, Arjuna at his side, Krishna with knotted locks blew his great conch carved of the giant's bone. Arjuna blew Indra's loud gift, Bhima the terrible, wolf-bellied Bhima blew a long reed conch, and Yudhisthira, Kunti's blameless son, winded a mighty shell, victory's voice, and Nakula blew shrill upon his conch, named the sweet-sounding. Sahadev on his, called Jembedekt, and Kasi's prince on his, Sikundi on his car, Drishtidium. Virata Satyaki the unsubdued, Drupada with his sons, O Lord of Earth. Long-armed Subhadra's children all blew loud, so that the clangor shook their foemen's hearts, with quaking earth and thundering heaven, then twas, beholding Dhritarashtra's battle set, weapons unsheathing, bows drawn forth, the war instant to break Arjun, whose ensign badge, was Hanuman the monkey, spake this thing, to Krishna the divine, his charioteer. Drive, dauntless one, to yonder open ground, betwixt the armies I would see more nigh. These who will fight with us, those we must slay, today in war's arbitrament, for sure, on bloodshed all are bent who throng this plain, obeying Dhritarashtra's sinful son. Thus by Arjuna prayed, O Bharata, between the hosts that heavenly charioteer drove the bright car, reining its milk-white steeds, where Bhishma led and Drona and their lords. See, spake he to Arjuna, where they stand, thy kindred of the Kurush, and the prince, marked on each hand the kinsmen of his house. Grandsires and sires, uncles and brothers and sons, cousins and sons-in-law and nephews, mixed, with friends and honored elders, some this side, some that side ranged, and seeing those opposed, such kith-grown enemies, Arjuna's heart, melted with pity while he uttered this, Arjuna, Krishna, as I behold, come here to shed their common blood, yon concourse of our kin, my members fail, my tongue dries in my mouth, a shudder thrills my body and my hair. bristles with horror from my weak hand slips. Gandiv, the goodly bow, a fever burns, my skin to parching. Hardly may I stand, the life within me seems to swim and faint. Nothing do I foresee save woe and wail. It is not good, O Keshav. Not of good can spring from mutual slaughter. Lo, I hate triumph and domination, wealth and ease, thus sadly won. Aho, what victory can bring delight, Govinda? What rich spoils could profit? What rule recompense? What span of life itself seems sweet, bought with such blood? Seeing that these stand here ready to die, for whose sake life was fair and pleasure pleased, and power grew precious, grandsires, sires and sons, brothers and fathers-in-law and sons-in-law, elders and friends, shall I deal death on these, even though they seek to slay us? Not one blow, O Madhusudan, will I strike to gain the rule of all three worlds, then how much less to seize an earthly kingdom? Killing these must breed but anguish, Krishna, if they be guilty, we shall grow guilty by their deaths. Their sins will light on us if we shall slay those sons of Dhritarashtra and our kin. What peace could come of that, O Madhava? For if indeed, blinded by lust and wrath, these cannot see or will not see the sin of kingly lines o'erthrown and kinsmen slain, how should not we who see shun such a crime? We who perceive the guilt and feel the shame. O thou delight of men, Janardana, by overthrow of houses perisheth their sweet continuous household piety. Andrites neglected, piety extinct, enters impiety upon that home. Its women grow unwomaned, whence their spring, mad passions and the mingling up of castes, sending a hellward road that family, and whoso wrought its doom by wicked wrath, nay, and the souls of honored ancestors, fall from their place of peace, being bereft of funeral cakes and the wan death water. FN-1. So teach our holy hymns. Thus, if we slay kinsfolk and friends for love of earthly power, Ahavat, what an evil fault it were. Better I deem it, if my kinsmen strike, to face them weaponless and bare my breast, to shaft and spear, then answer blow with blow. So speaking, in the face of those two hosts, Arjuna sank upon his chariot seat, and let fall bow and arrows, sick at heart. Here ENDTH chapter I of the BHAGAVAD Gita, entitled Arjun Vishad, or The Book of the Distress of Arjuna. Chapter II, Sanjaya, him filled with such compassion and such grief, with eyes tear-dimmed, despondent, in stern words. The driver Madhusudan thus addressed, Krishna, how hath this weakness taken thee? Whence springs the inglorious trouble, shameful to the brave, barring the path of virtue? Nay, Arjun, forbid thyself to feebleness. It mars thy warrior name. Cast off the coward fit, wake, be thyself, arise, scourge of thy foes, Arjuna. How can I in the battle shoot with shafts on Bhishma or on Drona, O thou chief? Both worshipful, both honorable men, better to live on beggar's bread, with those we love alive, than taste their blood in rich feasts spread, and guiltily survive. Ah, were it worse, who knows, to be victor or vanquished here, when those confront us angrily, whose death leaves living drear, in pity lost, by doubtings tossed, my thoughts distracted turn, to thee the guide I reverence most, that I may counsel learn. I know not what would heal the grief, burned into soul and sense, if I were earth's unchallenged chief. A god in these gone thence, Sanjaya. So spake Arjuna to the Lord of Hearts, and sighing, I will not fight. Held silence then, to whom with tender smile, O Bharata. While the prince wept despairing twixt those hosts, Krishna made answer in divinest verse, Krishna, thou grievest where no grief should be, thou speak'st thee words lacking wisdom. For the wise in heart mourn not for those that live, nor those that die, nor I, nor thou, nor any one of these, ever was not, nor ever will not be, forever and forever afterwards. All that doth live, lives always, to man's frame, as there come infancy and youth and age. So come their raisings up and layings down, of other and of other life abodes, which the wise know and fear not. This that irks, thy sense life thrilling to the elements, bringing the heat and cold, sorrows and joys, tease brief and mutable. Bear with it, prince, as the wise bear, the soul which is not moved, the soul that with a strong and constant calm takes sorrow and takes joy indifferently, lives in the life undying, that which is can never cease to be, that which is not will not exist. To see this truth of both is theirs who part essence from accident, substance from shadow. Indestructible, learn thou, the life is spreading life through all. It cannot anywhere by any means be anywise diminished, stayed, or changed. But for these fleeting frames which it informs, with spirit deathless, endless, infinite, they perish. Let them perish, prince, and fight. He who shall say, lo, I have slain a man, he who shall think, lo, I am slain, those both know not, life cannot slay, life is not slain. Never the spirit was born, the spirit shall cease to be never, never was time it was not. End and beginning are dreams, birthless and deathless and changeless remaineth the spirit forever, death hath not touched it at all, dead though the house of it seems. Who knoweth it exhaustless, self-sustained, immortal, indestructible shall such say, I have killed a man or caused to kill. Nay, but as when one layeth his worn-out robes away and taking new ones saith, "These will I wear today," so putteth by the Spirit. Lightly its garb of flesh, and passeth to inherit, a residence afresh. I say to thee, weapons reach not the life, flame burns it not, waters cannot o'erwhelm, nor dry winds wither it. Impenetrable, unentered, unassailed, unharmed, untouched, immortal, all-arriving, stable, sure, invisible, ineffable by word. And thought encompassed, ever all itself, thus is the soul declared. How wilt thou then, knowing it so grieve when thou shouldst not grieve, how, if thou hearest that the man new dead is like the man newborn, still living man, one same existent spirit wilt thou weep? The end of birth is death, the end of death is birth, this is ordained. And mournest thou, chief of the stalwart arm, for what befalls, which could not otherwise befall? The birth of living things comes unperceived, the death comes unperceived, between them beings perceive. What is there sorrowful herein, dear prince, wonderful, wistful to contemplate? Difficult, doubtful to speak upon, strange and great for tongue to relate. Mystical hearing for everyone, nor wotteth man this, what a marvel it is. When seeing and saying and hearing are done, this life within all living things my prince hides beyond harm. Scorn thou to suffer then, for that which cannot suffer. Do thy part, be mindful of thy name, and tremble not. Not better can betide a martial soul than lawful war, happy the warrior, to whom comes joy of battle comes, as now, glorious and fair, unsought, opening for him, a gateway unto heaven. But if thou shunst this honorable field a kshatriya, if knowing thy duty and thy task thou bidst, duty and task go by that shall be sin, and those to come shall speak the infamy from age to age, but infamy is worse, for men of noble blood to bear than death, the chiefs upon their battle chariots. Will deem 'twas fear that drove thee from the fray, of those who held thee mighty souled the scorn. Thou must abide, while all thine enemies will scatter bitter speech of thee to mock the valor which thou hadst. What fate could fall more grievously than this? Either being killed, thou wilt win Swarga's safety, or alive, and victor thou wilt reign an earthly king. Therefore arise, thou son of Kunti. Brace thine arm for conflict, nerve thy heart to meet, as things alike to thee pleasure or pain. Profit or ruin, victory or defeat, so minded, gird thee to the fight, for so thou shalt not sin. Thus far I speak to thee, as from the Sankhya unspiritually, hear now the deeper teaching of the Yog, which holding understanding thou shalt burst thy karma band, the bondage of wrought deeds. Here shall no end be hindered, no hope marred, no loss be feared. Faith, yea, a little faith, shall save thee from the anguish of thy dread. Here, glory of the Karush, shines one rule. One steadfast rule while shifting souls have laws, many and hard. Specious, but wrongful deem, the speech of those ill-taught ones who extol, the letter of their Vedas saying, this is all we have or need. Being weak at heart, with wants seekers of heaven, which comes, they say, as fruit of good deeds done, promising men much profit in new births for works of faith in various rites abounding, following whereon large merit shall accrue towards wealth and power, albeit, who wealth and power do most desire. Least fixity of soul have such, least hold on heavenly meditation. Much these teach from Veds concerning the three qualities, but thou be free of the three qualities, free of the pairs of opposites, FN-2, and free from that sad righteousness which calculates self-ruled Arjuna, simple, satisfied, FN-3. Look, like as when a tank pours water forth, to suit all needs, so do these Brahmins draw text for all wants from tank of holy writ. But thou want not, ask not. Find full reward of doing right and right. Let right deeds be thy motive, not the fruit which comes from them, and live in action. Labor, make thine acts thy piety, casting all self aside, contemning gain and merit, equable in good or evil. Equability is yog, is piety, yet the right act is less, far less than the right thinking mind. Seek refuge in thy soul, have there thy heaven, scorn them that follow virtue for her gifts. The mind of pure devotion even here casts equally aside good deeds and bad, passing above them. Unto pure devotion devote thyself with perfect meditation, comes perfect act and the right-hearted rise, more certainly because they seek no gain, forth from the bands of body step by step to highest seats of bliss. When thy firm soul hath shaken off those tangled oracles which ignorantly guide, then shall it soar to high neglect of what's denied or said, this way or that way in doctrinal writ, troubled no longer by the priestly lore, safe shall it live and sure, steadfastly bent on meditation. This is Yagan peace, Arjuna. What is his mark who hath that steadfast heart, confirmed in holy meditation? How know we his speech, Kesava? Sits he, moves he like other men, Krishna, when one, O Pritha's son, abandoning desires which shake the mind, finds in his soul full comfort for his soul, he hath attained the yog that man is such, in sorrows not dejected, and in joys, not overjoyed, dwelling outside the stress of passion, fear, and anger, fixed in calms. Of lofty contemplation such an one, is Muni, is the sage, the true recluse, he who to none and nowhere overbound, by ties of flesh, takes evil things and good, neither desponding nor exalting such, bears wisdom's plainest mark. He who shall draw as the wise tortoise draws its 4 feet safe, under its shield his 5 frail senses back, under the spirit's buckler from the world, which else assails them, such an one, my prince, hath wisdom's mark, things that solicit sense. Hold off from the self-governed, nay, it comes, the appetites of him who lives beyond, depart, arouse no more. Yet may it chance, O son of Kunti, that a governed mind shall sometime feel the sense storm sweep and rest, strong self-control by the roots. Let him regain his kingdom, let him conquer this and sit on me intent. That man alone is wise, who keeps the mastery of himself. If one ponders on objects of the sense, there springs attraction, from attraction grows desire. Desire flames to fierce passion, passion breeds recklessness, then the memory all betrayed lets noble purpose go and saps the mind, till purpose, mind, and man are all undone. But if one deals with objects of the sense, not loving and not hating, making them serve his free soul, which rests serenely, Lord, lo, such a man comes to tranquility, and out of that tranquility shall rise the end and healing of his earthly pains, since the will governed sets the soul at peace. The soul of the ungoverned is not his. Nor hath he knowledge of himself, which lacked, how grows serenity? And wanting that, when shall he hope for happiness? The mind that gives itself to follow shows of sense, seeth its helm of wisdom rent away, and like a ship in waves of whirlwind drives to wreck and death. Only with him, great prince, whose senses are not swayed by things of sense, only with him who holds his mastery, shows wisdom perfect. What is midnight gloom? To unenlightened souls shines wakeful day. To his clear gaze, what seems as wakeful day is known for night, thick night of ignorance, to his true seeing eyes. Such is the saint, and like the ocean, day by day receiving floods from all lands, which never overflows, its boundary line not leaping and not leaving, fed by the rivers but unswelled by those, so is the perfect one. To his soul's ocean, the world of sense pours streams of witchery, they leave him as they find, without commotion, taking their tribute but remaining sea. Yea, whoso, shaking off the yoke of flesh, lives lord, not servant of his lusts, set free from pride, from passion, from the sin of self, toucheth tranquility. O Pritha's son, that is the state of Brahm, there rests no dread when that last step is reached. Live where he will, die when he may, such passeth from all plaining to blessed nirvana with the gods attaining. Here ENDTH chapter II of the Bhagavad-gita, entitled Sankhya Yog, or the Book of Doctrines. Chapter II, Arjuna, thou whom all mortals praise, Janardana, if meditation be a nobler thing than action, wherefore then, great Kesava, dost thou impel me to this dreadful fight? Now am I by thy doubtful speech disturbed. Tell me one thing, and tell me certainly, by what road shall I find the better end? Krishna, I told thee, blameless Lord, there be 2 paths shown to this world, 2 schools of wisdom. First, the Sankhya's, which doth save in way of works, prescribed FN-4 by reason. Next, the Yog, which bids attain by meditation spiritually, yet these are one. No man shall scape from act by shunning action, nay, and none shall come by mere renouncements unto perfectness. Nay, and no jot of time at any time rests any actionless. His nature's law compels him, even unwilling, into act, for thought is act in fancy. He who sits, suppressing all the instruments of flesh, yet in his idle heart thinking on them, plays the inept and guilty hypocrite. But he who, with strong body-serving mind, gives up his mortal powers to worthy work, not seeking gain, Arjuna, such an one is honorable. Do thine allotted task, work is more excellent than idleness. The body's life proceeds not, lacking work, there is a task of holiness to do. Unlike world-binding toil, which bindeth not the faithful soul, such earthly duty do, free from desire, and thou shalt well perform thy heavenly purpose, spake Prajapati. In the beginning, when all men were made, and with mankind the sacrifice do this, work, sacrifice, increase and multiply with sacrifice, this shall be Kamaduk, your cow of plenty, giving back her milk of all abundance. Worship the gods thereby, the gods shall yield thee grace. Those meats ye crave, the gods will grant to labor when it pays, tithes in the altar flame. But if one eats fruits of the earth, rendering to kindly heaven, no gift of toil, that thief steals from his world. Who eat of food after their sacrifice are quit of fault, but they that spread a feast, all for themselves, eat sin and drink of sin, buy food the living live. Food comes of rain, and rain comes by the pious sacrifice. And sacrifice is paid with tithes of toil. Thus action is of Brahma, who is one, the only, all-pervading, at all times, present in sacrifice. He that abstains to help the rolling wheels of this great world, glutting his idle sense, lives a lost life, shameful and vain, existing for himself. Self-concentrated, serving self alone, no part hath he in aught, nothing achieved, not wrought or unwrought toucheth him, no hope of help for all the living things of earth depends from him. FN-5 Therefore thy task prescribed, with spirit unattached gladly perform, since in performance of plain duty man mounts to his highest bliss, by works alone. Danak and ancient saints reached blessedness, moreover, for the upholding of thy kind, action thou shouldst thee embrace, what the wise choose. The unwise people take what best men do, the multitude will follow. Look on me, thou son of Pritha, in the three wide worlds. I am not bound to any toil, no height awaits to scale, no gift remains to gain, yet I act here. And if I acted not, earnest and watchful those that look to me for guidance, sinking back to sloth again, because I slumbered would decline from good, and I should break earth's order and commit her offspring unto ruin, Bharata, even as the unknowing toil wedded to sense. So let the enlightened toil, sense freed, but set, to bring the world deliverance and its bliss, not sowing in those simple, busy hearts seed of despair. Yea, let each play his part. In all he finds to do with unyoked soul, all things are everywhere by nature wrought, in interaction of the qualities, the fool, cheated by self, thinks, this I did, and that I wrought. But ah, thou strong-armed prince, a better-lessoned mind, knowing the play of visible things within the world of sense. And how the qualities must qualify, standeth aloof even from his acts. Th untaught, live mixed with them, knowing not nature's way, of highest aims unwitting, slow and dull, those make thou not to stumble, having the light, but all thy dues discharging for my sake, with meditation scented inwardly, seeking no profit, satisfied, serene, heedless of issue fight. They who shall keep my ordinance thus, the wise and willing hearts, have quittance from all issue of their acts, but those who disregard my ordinance, thinking they know not and fall to loss, confused and foolish. Sooth, the instructed one doth of his kind, following what fits him most, and lower creatures of their kind, in vain, contending gainst the law. Needs must it be, the objects of the sense will stir the sense, to like and dislike, yet enlightened man yields not to these, knowing them enemies. Finally, this is better that one do his own task as he may, even though he fail, than take tasks not his own, though they seem good. To die performing duty is no ill, but who seeks other roads shall wander still. Arjuna, yet tell me, teacher, by what force doth man go to his ill, unwilling, as if one pushed him that evil path, Krishna, comma it is, passion it is, born of the darknesses which pusheth him. Mighty of appetite, sinful and strong is this. Man's enemy, as smoke blots the white fire, as clinging rust mars the bright mirror, as the womb surrounds the babe unborn, so is the world of things. Foiled, soiled, enclosed in this desire of flesh, the wise fall caught in it, the unresting foe. It is of wisdom wearing countless forms, fair but deceitful, subtle as a flame, sense, mind, and reason these, O Kunti's son, are booty for it in its play with these. It maddens man, beguiling, blinding him, therefore, thou noblest child of Bharata, govern thy heart. Constrain entangled sense, resist the false, soft sinfulness which saps knowledge and judgment. Yea, the world is strong. But what discerns it stronger, and the mind strongest, and high o'er all the ruling soul? Wherefore, perceiving him who reigns supreme, put forth full force of soul in thy own soul, fight. Vanquish foes and doubts, dear hero, slay what haunts thee in fond shapes and would betray. Here endeth chapter III of the Bhagavad-gita, entitled Karma Yoga, or the Book of Virtue and Work. Chapter IV, Krishna, this deathless yoga, this deep union. I taught Vivaswata, FN-6, the Lord of Light. Vivaswata to Manu gave it, he to Ikshwaku, so passed it down the line of all my royal rishis. Then with years, the truth grew dim and perished, noble prince, now once again to thee it is declared. This ancient lore, this mystery supreme, seeing I find thee votary and friend Arjuna, thy birth, dear lord, was in these later days, and bright Vivaswata's preceded time, how shall I comprehend this thing thou sayest? From the beginning it was I who taught. Krishna, manifold the renewals of my birth have been, Arjuna, and of thy births too, but mine I know, and then thou knowest not, O slayer of thy foes. Albeit I be unborn, undying, indestructible, the lord of all things living, not the less, by Maya, by my magic which I stamp on floating nature forms, the primal vast, I come and go and come. When righteousness declines, O Bharata, when wickedness is strong, I rise from age to age and take visible shape and move a man with men. Succoring the good, thrusting the evil back, and setting virtue on her seat again, who knows the truth touching my births on earth, and my divine work when he quits the flesh, puts on its load no more, falls no more down to earthly birth. To me he comes, dear prince, many there be who come. from fear set free, from anger, from desire, keeping their hearts fixed upon me, my faithful purified by sacred flame of knowledge, such as these mix with my being. Whoso worship me, them I exalt, but all men everywhere shall fall into my path, albeit those souls which seek reward for works make sacrifice. Now to the lower gods, I say to thee, here have they their reward, but I am he made the forecasts and portioned them a place after their qualities and gifts. Yea, I created the reposeful, I that live, immortally made all those mortal births, for works soil not my essence, being works wrought uninvolved. FN-7 Who knows me acting thus? Unchained by action, action binds not him, and so perceiving, all those saints of old worked seeking for deliverance. Work thou as in the days gone by thy fathers did, thou sayst perplexed, it hath been asked before by singers and by sages, what is act and what an action? I will teach thee this, and knowing thou shalt learn which work doth save. Needs must one rightly meditate those three, doing, not doing, and undoing. Here, thorny and dark the path is, he who sees how action may be rest, rest action he is wisest, mid is kind, he hath the truth, he doeth well, acting or resting. Freed in all his works from prickings of desire, burned clean in act by the white fire of truth, the wise call that man wise, and such an one, renouncing fruit of deeds, always content, always self-satisfying if he works, doth nothing that shall stain his separate soul, which quit of fear and hope subduing self, rejecting outward impulse yielding up, to bodies need nothing save body dwells. Sinless amid all sin with equal calm, taking what may befall by grief unmoved, unmoved by joy unenvyingly, the same, in good and evil fortunes, nowise bound by bond of deeds. Nay, but of such an one, whose crave is gone, whose soul is liberate, whose heart is set on truth of such an one, what work he does is work of sacrifice, which passeth purely into ash and smoke, consumed upon the altar. All's then God, the sacrifice is Brahm, the ghee and grain are Brahm, the fire is Brahm, the flesh it eats is Brahm, and unto Brahm attaineth he, who in such office meditates on Brahm. Some votaries there be who serve the gods with flesh and altar smoke, but other some, who, lighting subtler fires, make purer rite with will of worship. Of the which be they, who in white flame of continence consume joys of the sense, delights of eye and ear, foregoing tender speech and sound of song, and they who, kindling fires with torch of truth, burn on a hidden altar stone the bliss of youth and love, renouncing happiness, and they who lay for offering there their wealth, their penance, meditation, piety, their steadfast reading of the scrolls, their lore, painfully gained with long austerities, and they who, making silent sacrifice, draw in their breath to feed the flame of thought, and breathe it forth to waft the heart on high, governing the ventage of each entering air. Lest one sigh pass which helpeth not the soul, and they who, day by day denying needs, lay life itself upon the altar flame, burning the body wan. Lo, all these keep the rite of offering as if they slew victims, and all thereby efface much sin, yea, and who feed on the immortal food left of such sacrifice to Brahma pass to the unending. But for him that makes no sacrifice, he hath nor part nor lot even in the present world. How should he share? Another, O thou glory of thy line, inside of Brahma all these offerings are spread and are accepted. Comprehend that all proceed by act, for knowing this, thou shalt be quit of doubt. The sacrifice which knowledge pays is better than great gifts, offered by wealth, since gifts worth, O my prince, lies in the mind which gives, the will that serves, and these are gained by reverence, by strong search, by humble heed of those who see the truth and teach it. Knowing truth, thy heart no more will ache with error, for the truth shall show all things subdued to thee as thou to me. Moreover, son of Pandu, wert thou worst of all wrongdoers, this fair ship of truth should bear thee safe and dry across the sea of thy transgressions. As the kindled flame feeds on the fuel till it sinks to ash, so unto ash, Arjuna, unto naught the flame of knowledge wastes works dross away. There is no purifier like thereto in all this world, and he who seeketh it shall find it being grown perfect in himself, believing he receives it when the soul masters itself and cleaves to truth and comes, possessing knowledge to the higher peace, the uttermost repose. But those untaught, and those without full faith, and those who fear shent, no peace is here or otherwhere, no hope nor happiness for whoso doubts. He that, being self-contained, hath vanquished doubt, disparting self from service, soul from works, enlightened and emancipate, my prince, works fetter him no more. Cut then, Atwain, with sword of wisdom, son of Bharata, this doubt that binds thy heartbeats. Cleave the bond, born of thy ignorance. Be bold and wise, give thyself to the field with me. Arise, hear ENDETH chapter IV of the BHAGAVAD Gita, entitled Jnana Yoga, or the Book of the Religion of Knowledge, chapter V, Arjuna. Yet Krishna, at the one time thou dost laud surcease of works, and at another time service through work. Of these twain plainly tell, which is the better way Krishna to cease from works is well and to do works in holiness is well, and both conduct to bliss supreme, but of these twain the better way is his, who working piously refraineth not, that is the true renouncer, firm and fixed. Who seeking not, rejecting not dwells proof, against the opposites. O valiant prince, in doing such breaks lightly from all deed, tease the new scholar talks as they were too, this Sankhya and this Yoga, wise men know, who husbands one plucks golden fruit of both, the region of high rest which Sankhians reach, Yogins attain. Who sees these twain as one, sees with clear eyes, yet such abstraction, chief, is hard to win without much holiness. Whoso is fixed in holiness, self-ruled. Pure-hearted, lord of senses and of self, lost in the common life of all which lives, a Yagyakt he is a saint who wends straightway to Brahm. Such an one is not touched by taint of deeds. Not of myself I do, thus will he think, who holds the truth of truths, in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, when he eats or goes or breathes, slumbers or talks, holds fast or loosens, opes his eyes or shuts, always assured this is the sense world plays, with senses. He that acts in thought of Brahm. Detaching end from act with act content, the world of sense can no more stain his soul than waters mar th enameled lotus leaf, with life, with heart, with mind, nay, with the help of all five senses letting selfhood go, Yogins toil ever towards their soul's release. Such votaries, renouncing fruit of deeds, gain endless peace. The unvowed, the passion-bound, seeking a fruit from works are fastened down. The embodied sage, withdrawn within his soul, at every act sits godlike in the town. Which hath nine gateways, FN-9, neither doing aught nor causing any deed. This world's lord makes, neither the work nor passion for the work nor lust for fruit of work, the man's own self, pushes to these. The master of this world takes on himself the good or evil deeds of no man dwelling beyond. Mankind errs here by folly darkening knowledge. But for whom, that darkness of the soul is chased by light, splendid and clear shines manifest the truth, as if a sun of wisdom sprang to shed its beams of dawn, him meditating still, him seeking with him blended stayed on him, the souls illuminated take that road, which hath no turning back their sins flung off by strength of faith. Who will may have this light, who hath it sees? To him who wisely sees, the Brahmin with his scrolls and sanctities, the cow, the elephant, the unclean dog. The outcast gorging dog's meat are all one, the world is overcome I. Even here, by such as fix their faith on unity, the sinless Brahma dwells in unity and they in Brahma. Be not overglad, attaining joy, and be not oversad, encountering grief, but stayed on Brahma still, constant let each abide. The sage whose soul holds off from outer contacts in himself finds bliss, to Brahma joined by piety, his spirit tastes eternal peace. The joys, springing from sense life, are but quickening wombs, which breed sure griefs, those joys begin and end. The wise mind takes no pleasure, Kunti's son, in such as those. But if a man shall learn, even while he lives and bears his body's chain, to master lust and anger, he is blessed, he is the Yukta, he hath happiness, contentment, light within, his life is merged. In Brahma's life, he doth nirvana touch, thus go the rishis unto rest, who dwell, with sins effaced, with doubts at end, with hearts, governed and calm. Glad in all good they live. Nigh to the peace of God, and all those live, who pass their days exempt from greed and wrath, subduing self and senses, knowing the soul, the saint who shuts outside his placid soul, all touch of sense, letting no contact through, whose quiet eyes gaze straight from fixed brows, whose outward breath and inward breath are drawn, equal and slow through nostrils still and close, that one with organs, heart and mind constrained, bent on deliverance, having put away passion and fear and rage, hath even now obtained deliverance, ever and ever freed, yea, for he knows me who am he that heeds, the sacrifice and worship, God revealed, and he who heeds not, being lord of worlds, lover of all that lives, God unrevealed, wherein who will shall find surety and shield. Here ends chapter V of the Bhagavad Gita, entitled Karma Sannyas Yoga, or The Book of Religion by Renouncing Fruit of Works. Chapter VI, Krishna, therefore, who doeth work rightful to do. Not seeking gain from work, that man, O Prince, is sannyasi and yogi both in one, and he is neither who lights not the flame of sacrifice, nor setteth hand to task, regard as true renouncer him that makes worship by work, for who renounceth not, works not as yogin. So is that well said. By works the votary doth rise to faith, and saintship is the ceasing from all works, because the perfect yogin acts but acts, unmoved by passions and unbound by deeds, setting result aside. Let each man raise the self by soul, not trample down his self. Since soul that is self's friend may grow self's foe, soul is self's friend when self doth rule o'er self. But self turns enemy if soul's own self. Hate self is not itself. FN-10, the sovereign soul of him who lives self-governed and at peace is centered in itself, taking alike pleasure and pain, heat, cold, glory and shame. He is the yogi, he is yukta, glad with joy of light and truth, dwelling apart, upon a peak with senses subjugate. Where do the clod, the rock, the glistering gold, show all as one? By this sign is he known, being of equal grace to comrades, friends, chance-comers, strangers, lovers, enemies, aliens, and kinsmen, loving all alike, evil or good, sequestered should he sit, steadfastly meditating, solitary, his thoughts controlled, his passions laid away, quit of belongings, in a fair, still spot, having his fixed abode not too much raised, nor yet too low let him abide his goods. A cloth, a deerskin, and the cusa grass. There setting hard his mind upon the one, restraining heart and senses, silent, calm, let him accomplish yoga and achieve. Pureness of soul, holding immovable body and neck and head, his gaze absorbed upon his nose end, FN-11 wrapped from all around, tranquil in spirit, free of fear, intent, upon his brahmacharya vow devout, musing on me, lost in the thought of me, that yajin, so devoted, so controlled. Comes to the peace beyond my peace, the peace of high nirvana, but for earthly needs. Religion is not his who too much fasts, or too much feasts, nor his who sleeps away an idle mind, nor his who wears to waste his strength in vigils. Nay, Arjuna, call that the true piety which most removes earthaches and ills where one is moderate, in eating and in resting and in sport measured in wish and act, sleeping betimes, waking betimes for duty. When the man, so living, centers on his soul the thought. Straightly restrained and touched internally, by stress of sense then is he yukta. See, steadfast a lamp burns sheltered from the wind, such is the likeness of the yogi's mind, shut from sense storms and burning bright to heaven, when mind broods placid, soothed with holy want, when self contemplates self and in itself hath comfort, when it knows the nameless joy, beyond all scope of sense, revealed to soul, only to soul, and knowing wavers not, true to the farther truth, when holding this. It deems no other treasure comparable, but harbored there cannot be stirred or shook by any gravest grief, call that state peace, that happy severance yoga, call that man the perfect yogin, steadfastly the will, must toil thereto till efforts end in ease, and thought has passed from thinking. Shaking off all longings bred by dreams of fame and gain, shutting the doorways of the senses close, with watchful ward, so, step by step, it comes, to gift of peace assured and heart assuaged. When the mind dwells self-wrapped and the soul broods, cumberless, but as often as the heart breaks wild and wavering from control so oft, let him recurb it, let him rein it back, to the soul's governance, for perfect bliss grows only in the bosom tranquilized, the spirit passionless, purged from offense, vowed to the infinite. He who thus vows, his soul to the supreme soul, quitting sin, passes unhindered to the endless bliss of unity with Brahma. He so vowed, so blended, sees the life-soul resident. In all things living and all living things, in that life-soul contained. And whoso thus discerneth me in all and all in me, I never let him go, nor looseneth he hold upon me, but dwell he where he may, whate'er his life in me he dwells and lives, because he knows and worships me who dwell, in all which lives and cleaves to me in all, Arjuna, if a man sees everywhere, taught by his own similitude one life, one essence in the evil and the good, hold him a yogi, yea, well-perfected, Arjuna. Slayer of Madhu, yet again this yog, this peace derived from equanimity, made known by the I see no fixity, therein no rest because the heart of men is unfixed, Krishna, rash, tumultuous, willful, and strong. It were all one, I think, to hold the wayward wind as tame man's heart, Krishna, hero long-armed. Beyond denial hard, man's heart is to restrain, and wavering, yet may it grow restrained by habit, prince, by want of self-command. This yog, I say, cometh not lightly to ungoverned ones, but he who will be master of himself shall win it if he stoutly strive thereto, Arjuna. And what road goeth he who, having faith, fails, Krishna? In the striving, falling back from holiness, missing the perfect rule, is he not lost, straying from Brahma's light, like the vain cloud which floats twixt earth and heaven? When lightning splits it and it vanisheth, fain would I hear thee answer me herein. Since, Krishna, none save thou can clear the doubt, Krishna. He is not lost, thou son of Pritha. No, nor earth nor heaven is forfeit even for him, because no heart that holds one right desire treadeth the road of loss. He who should fail, desiring righteousness, cometh at death unto the region of the just, dwells there measureless years, and being born anew, beginneth life again in some fair home, amid the mild and happy. It may chance, he doth descend into a yogin house on virtue's breast, but that is rare, such birth is hard to be obtained on this earth, chief. So hath he back again what heights of heart, He did achieve, and so he strives anew to perfectness with better hope, dear prince, for by the old desire he is drawn on unwittingly, and only to desire. The purity of Yog is to pass, beyond the Sabdabrahm, the spoken Veed, but being yogi, striving strong and long, purged from transgressions, perfected by births, following on births, he plants his feet at last upon the farther path. Such as one ranks, above ascetics, higher than the wise. Beyond achievers of vast deeds, be thou Yogi Arjuna, and of such believe, truest and best is he who worships me with inmost soul, stayed on my mystery here ENDETH chapter VI, of the BHAGVAD Gita, entitled Atmasanyamyog, or The Book of Religion by Self-Restraint. Chapter VII, Krishna, learn now, dear prince, how if thy soul be set, ever on me still exercising Yog, still making me thy refuge, thou shalt come, most surely unto perfect hold of me. I will declare to thee that utmost lore, whole in particular, which when thou knowest, leaveth no more to know here in this world, of many thousand mortals one, perchance, striveth for truth, and of those few that strive, nay, and rise high one only here and there, knoweth me as I am the very truth, earth, water, flame, air, ether, life, and mind, and individuality those eight, make up the showing of me manifest. These be my lower nature, learn the higher, whereby, thou valiant one, this universe is by its principle of life produced, whereby the worlds of visible things are born as from a yoni. No, I am that womb, I make and I unmake this universe than me, there is no other master, prince, no other maker. All these hang on me, as hangs a row of pearls upon its string, I am the fresh taste of the water, I the silver of the moon, the gold o' the sun, the word of worship in the Veds, the thrill, that passeth in the ether and the strength of man's shed seed. I am the good sweet smell of the moistened earth, I am the fire's red light, the vital air moving in all which moves, the holiness of hallowed souls, the root, undying, whence hath sprung whatever is, the wisdom of the wise, the intellect of the informed, the greatness of the great, the splendor of the splendid. Kunti's son, these am I, free from passion and desire, yet am I right desire in all who yearn, chief of the Bharatas. For all those moods, soothfast or passionate or ignorant, which nature frames, deduce from me, but all are merged in me, not I in them. The world, deceived by those three qualities of being, wotteth not me who am outside them all, above them all, eternal. Hard it is to pierce that veil divine of various shows, which hideth me, yet they who worship me, pierce it and pass beyond. I am not known to evil doers, nor to foolish ones, nor to the base and churlish, nor to those whose mind is cheated by the show of things, nor those that take the way of asuras. FN-12. Four sorts of mortals know me, he who weeps, Arjuna, and the man who yearns to know, and he who toils to help, and he who sits, certain of me, enlightened of these four, O Prince of India. Highest, nearest, best, that last is the devout soul, wise intent upon the one. Dear above all am I to him, and he is dearest unto me, all four are good and seek me, but mine own, the true of heart, the faithful stayed on me, taking me as their utmost blessedness, they are not mine, but I even I myself. At end of many births to me they come, yet hard the wise Mahatma is to find, that man who saith, all is Vasudev. FN-13, there be those, too, whose knowledge turned aside by this desire or that gives them to serve, some lower gods with various rites constrained by that which moldeth them. Unto all such, worship what shrine they will, what shapes in faith. Tease I who give them faith, I am content, the heart thus asking favor from its God, darkened but ardent, hath the end it craves. The lesser blessing but tease I who give, yet soon is withered what small fruit they reap. Those men of little minds who worship so, go where they worship, passing with their gods, but mine come unto me. Blind are the eyes, which deem unmanifested manifest, not comprehending me in my true self, imperishable, viewless, undeclared, hidden behind my magic veil of shows, I am not seen by all, I am not known, unborn and changeless to the idle world. But I, Arjuna, know all things which were, and all which are, and all which are to be, albeit not one among them knoweth me by passion for the pairs of opposites. By those twain snares of like and dislike, prince, all creatures live bewildered save some few, who, quit of sins, holy in act, informed, freed from the opposites, and fixed in faith, cleave unto me, who cleave, who seek in me, refuge from birth, FN-14, and death, those have the truth, those know me Brahma, know me soul of souls. The ADHY to man, no karma my work know, I am ADHYBHUTA, Lord of life, and ADHYDIVA, Lord of all the gods, and ADHYYJANE, Lord of sacrifice, worship me well with hearts of love and faith, and find and hold me in the hour of death. Here ENDTH chapter VII, of the BHAGVD Gita, entitled Vainanayag, or The Book of Religion by Discernment. Chapter VII, Arjuna, who is that Brahma, what that soul of souls? The ADHY to man? What thou best of all, thy work, the karma, tell me what it is, thou namest ADHIBHUTA, what again means ADHIDIVA, yea, and how it comes thou canst be ADHIYJNA in thy flesh, slayer of Madhu. Further, make me know how good men find thee in the hour of death, Krishna, I Brahma am, the one eternal God, and ADHYATMAN is my being's name, the soul of souls, what goeth forth from me. Causing all life to live is karma called and manifested in divided forms. I am the ADHIBHUTA, Lord of Lives, and ADHIDIVA, Lord of all the gods, because I am PURUSHA who begets, and ADHIYJNA, Lord of Sacrifice, I speaking with thee in this body here am thou embodied one. For all the shrines flame unto me, and at the hour of death, he that hath meditated me alone, in putting off his flesh, comes forth to me. Enters into my being, doubt thou not, but if he meditated otherwise, at hour of death in putting off the flesh, he goes to what he looked for, Kunti's son, because the soul is fashioned to its like. Have me then in thy heart always, and fight. Thou too, when heart and mind are fixed on me, shalt surely come to me. All come who cleave with never wavering will of firmest faith, owning none other gods, all come to me, the uttermost, pure Russia, holiest, whoso hath known me, Lord of sage and singer. Ancient of days, of all the three worlds stay, boundless, but unto every atom bringer of that which quickens it, whoso, I say, hath known my form which passeth mortal knowing, seen my effulgence which no eye hath seen, then the sun's burning gold more brightly glowing, dispersing darkness unto him hath been right life. And in the hour when life is ending, with mind set fast and trustful piety, drawing still breath beneath calm brows unbending, in happy peace that faithful one doth die. In glad peace passeth to Purusha's heaven, the place which they who read the Veda's name, Aksharam, ultimate, where two have striven, saints and ascetics, their road is the same. That way the highest way goes he who shuts the gates of all his senses, locks desire, safe in his heart, centers the vital airs, upon his parting thought, steadfastly set, and murmuring Om, the sacred syllable, emblem of BRAHM dies, meditating me, for who none other gods regarding looks, ever to me, easily am I gained. By such a yogi, and attaining me, they fall not those Mahatmas back to birth, to life, which is the place of pain, which ends, but take the way of utmost blessedness. The world's Arjuna, even Brahma's world. Roll back again from death to life's unrest, but they, O Kunti's son, that reach to me, taste birth no more. If ye know Brahma's day, which is a thousand yugas, if ye know the thousand yugas making Brahma's night, then know ye day and night as he doth know, when that vast dawn doth break, th invisible, is brought anew into the visible when that deep night doth darken, all which is, fades back again to him who sent it forth, yea, this vast company of living things, again and yet again produced expires. At Brahma's nightfall, and at Brahma's dawn, riseth without its will to life newborn, but higher, deeper, innermost abides, another life not like the life of sense, escaping sight unchanging. This endures, when all created things have passed away, this is that life named the unmanifest, the infinite, the all, the uttermost, thither arriving none return, that life, is mine and I am there. And prince, by faith, which wanders not, there is a way to come thither. I the PURUSHA, I who spread. The universe around me in whom dwell, all living things may so be reached and seen. FN-14, richer than holy fruit on Veda's growing, greater than gifts, better than prayer or fast, such wisdom is, the yogi this way knowing, comes to the utmost perfect peace at last. Here ENDETH chapter VII of the BHAGAVAD Gita, entitled Aksharaparabrahmayag, or The Book of Religion by Devotion to the One Supreme God. Chapter IX, Krishna. Now will I open unto thee whose heart rejects not that last lore deepest concealed, that farthest secret of my heavens and earths, which but to know shall set thee free from ills, a royal lore, a kingly mystery, yea, for the soul such light as purgeth it from every sin, a light of holiness, with inmost splendor shining, plain to see, easy to walk by, inexhaustible, they that receive not this, failing in faith, to grasp the greater wisdom, reach not me, destroyer of thy foes, they sink anew. Into the realm of flesh where all things change, by me the whole vast universe of things, is spread abroad by me the unmanifest, in me are all existences contained, not I in them, yet they are not contained, those visible things. Receive and strive to embrace, the mystery majestical. My being, creating all, sustaining all, still dwells, outside of all, see, as the shoreless airs, move in the measureless space, but are not space. And space were space without the moving airs. So all things are in me, but are not I, at closing of each kalpa, Indian prince, all things which be back to my being come, at the beginning of each kalpa, all, issue newborn from me, by energy, and help of Prakriti my outer self, again and yet again I make go forth, the realms of visible things without their will, all of them by the power of Procrity. Yet these great makings, prince, involve me not, enchain me not, I sit apart from them. Other and higher and free, nowise attached, thus doth the stuff of worlds molded by me bring forth all that which is moving or still, living or lifeless. Thus the worlds go on, the minds untaught mistake me, veiled in form. Not see they of my secret presence, not of my hid nature, ruling all which lives, vain hopes pursuing, vain deeds doing, fed on vainest knowledge, senselessly they seek an evil way, the way of brutes and fiends, but my Mahatmas, those of noble soul. Who tread the path celestial, worship me, with hearts unwandering knowing me the source, th, eternal source of life. Unendingly, they glorify me, seek me, keep their vows of reverence and love with changeless faith, adoring me. Yea, and those too adore who, offering sacrifice of wakened hearts, have sense of one pervading spirit's stress, one force in every place, though manifold, I am the sacrifice, I am the prayer, I am the funeral cake set for the dead, I am the healing herb, I am the ghee. The mantra and the flame and that which burns, I am of all this boundless universe, the father, mother, ancestor, and guard, the end of learning, that which purifies in lustral water, I am Om. I am Rigveda, Samaveda, Yajurved, the way, the fosterer, the lord, the judge, the witness, the abode, the refuge house, the friend, the fountain, and the sea of life, which sends and swallows up, treasure of worlds and treasure chamber, seed and seed sower, whence endless harvests spring. Sun's heat is mine, heaven's rain is mine to grant or to withhold, death am I, and immortal life I am, Arjuna, SAT and ASAT, visible life and life invisible, yea. Those who learn the threefold Veds, who drink the soma wine, purge sins, pay sacrifice for me they earn, passage to Swarga, where the meats divine of great gods feed them in high Indra's heaven. Yet they, when that prodigious joy is o'er, paradise spent, and wage for merits given, come to the world of death and change once more. They had their recompense, they stored their treasure, following the threefold scripture and its writ, who seeketh such gaineth the fleeting pleasure of joy which comes and goes. I grant them it, but to those blessed ones who worship me, turning not otherwhere with minds set fast, I bring assurance of full bliss beyond, nay, and of hearts which follow other gods, in simple faith their prayers arise to me, O Kunti's son. Though they pray wrongfully, for I am the receiver and the lord of every sacrifice which these know not. Rightfully, so they fall to earth again, who follow gods go to their gods, who vow, their souls to Pitris go to Pitris, minds to evil butts given o'er sink to the butts, and whoso loveth me cometh to me. Whoso shall offer me in faith and love, a leaf, a flower, a fruit, water poured forth, that offering I accept, lovingly made, with pious will. Whate'er thou doest, prince, eating or sacrificing, giving gifts, praying or fasting, let it all be done, for me as mine, so shalt thou free thyself. From karma band, the chain which holdeth men, to good and evil issue, so shalt come, safe unto me, when thou art quit of flesh. By faith and abdication join to me, I am alike for all, I know not hate, I know not favor, what is made is mine, but them that worship me with love, I love they are in me, and I in them. Nay, prince, if one of evil life turn in his thought, straightly to me count him amidst the good, he hath the high way chosen, he shall grow righteous ere long, he shall attain that peace, which changes not. Thou prince of India, be certain none can perish, trusting me, O Pritha's son. Whoso will turn to me, though they be born from the very womb of sin, woman or man, sprung of the Vaisya caste, or lowly disregarded Sudral, plant foot upon the highest path, how then, the holy Brahmins and my royal saints, ah. Ye who into this ill world are come, fleeting and false, set your faith fast on me, fix heart and thought on me, adore me, bring offerings to me, make me prostrations, make me your supremest joy, and undivided unto my rest your spirits shall be guided. Here ends chapter IX. Of the Bhagavad Gita, entitled Rajavidyarjagahyayag, or the Book of Religion by the Kingly Knowledge and the Kingly Mystery, chapter X, Krishna, FN-L6. Hear farther yet, thou long-armed Lord. These latest words I say, uttered to bring thee bliss and peace, who lovest me alway, not the great company of gods nor kingly rishis know. My nature, who have made the gods and rishis long ago, he only knoweth, only he is free of sin and wise, who seeth me, Lord of the worlds, with faith-enlightened eyes, unborn, undying, unbegun. Whatever natures be, to mortal men distributed, those natures spring from me, intellect, skill, enlightenment, endurance, self-control. Truthfulness, equability, and grief or joy of soul, and birth and death, and fearfulness and fearlessness and shame, and honor and sweet harmlessness. FN-17 and peace which is the same, whate'er befalls, and mirth and tears and piety and thrift, and wish to give and will to help all cometh of my gift. The seven chief saints, the elders four, the lordly manasset. Sharing my work to rule the worlds, these two did I beget, and rishis, pitris, manus all by one thought of my mind, thence did arise to fill this world, the races of mankind, wherefrom who comprehends my reign of mystic majesty. That truth of truths is thenceforth linked in faultless faith to me, yea. Knowing me the source of all, by me all creatures wrought. The wise in spirit cleave to me, into my being brought, hearts fixed on me, breaths breath to me, praising me, each to each. So have they happiness and peace, with pious thought and speech, and unto these thus serving well, thus loving ceaselessly. I give a mind of perfect mood, whereby they draw to me, and all for love of them within their darkened souls I dwell. And with bright rays of wisdom's lamp their ignorance dispel. Arjuna, yes, thou art Parabrahm, the high abode, the great purification. Thou art God, eternal, all-creating, holy first, without beginning, Lord of lords and gods, declared by all the saints by Narada. Vyasa Asita and Devalas, and hear thyself declaring unto me, what thou hast said now know I to be truth, O Kesava, that neither gods nor men, nor demons comprehend thy mystery, made manifest, divinest, thou thyself, thyself alone dost know, maker supreme, master of all the living, Lord of gods, king of the universe. To thee alone belongs to tell the heavenly excellence of those perfections wherewith thou dost fill these worlds of thine, pervading, imminent. How shall I learn, supremest mystery? To know thee, though I muse continually under what form of thine unnumbered forms, mayst thou be grasped? Ah, yet again recount, clear and complete thy great appearances, the secrets of thy majesty and might, thou high delight of men. Never enough, can mine ears drink the Amritefen hash 18 of such words, Krishna, Hanta, so be it. Kuru Prince, I will to thee unfold some portions of my majesty, whose powers are manifold. I am the spirit seated deep in every creature's heart, from me they come, by me they live. At my word they depart, Vishnu of the Adityas I am, those lords of light, Marichi of the Maruts, the kings of storm and blight. By day I gleam, the golden sun of burning cloudless noon, by night, amid the asterisms I glide, the dappled moon of Vedas I am Samaved, of gods in Indra's heaven. Vasava. Of the faculties to living beings given. The mind which apprehends and thinks, of Rudra Sankara, of Yakshas and of Rakshasas, Videsh and Pavaka, of Vasis and of mountain peaks Meru, Vrihaspati, know me mid planetary powers. Mid warriors heavenly, Skanda, of all the water floods the sea which drinketh each, and Brig of the holy saints, and Om of sacred speech of prayers the prayer ye whisper, FN hash 19 of hills Himalaya snow, and Aswattha, the fig tree of all the trees that grow of the Devarshis, Narada, and Chitrarath of them. That sing in heaven, and Kapila of Munis, and the gem, of flying steeds, Achaisravas from Amrit wave which burst, of elephants Aravata, of males the best and first, of weapons Heaven's hot thunderbolt, of cows white Kamadhuk, from whose great milky udder teats all hearts' desires are struck, Vasuki of the serpent tribes, round Mandara entwined, and thousand-fanged Ananta, on whose broad coils reclined, leans Vishnu, and of water things Varuna, Ariam. Of Pitris and of those that judge, Yama the judge I am, of Daitya's dread Pralada, of what meets days and years, time self I am, of woodland beasts buffaloes, deers and bears, the lordly painted tiger, of birds the vast Garud, the whirlwind mid the winds, mid chiefs Rama with blood imbrued, Makar mid fishes of the sea and Ganges mid the streams, yea. First and last and center of all witches or seams, I am, Arjuna, wisdom supreme of what is wise. Words on the uttering lips I am, and eyesight of the eyes, and A of written characters, Dwandwa FN hash 20 of knitted speech, and endless life and boundless love whose power sustaineth each and bitter death which seizes all and joyous sudden birth, which brings to light all beings that are to be on earth, and of the viewless virtues, fame, fortune, song am I, and memory and patience, and craft and constancy, of Vedic hymns the Vrihatsam, of meters Gayatri. Of months the Margasursha, of all the seasons three, the flower-wreathed spring, in dicer's play the conquering, double eight the splendor of the splendid and the greatness of the great, victory I am and action, and the goodness of the good, and Vasudev of Vrishni's race and of this Pandu brood, thyself, yea my Arjuna, thyself, for thou art mine of poets Yuzana, of saints Vyasa, sage divine, the policy of conquerors, the potency of kings. The great unbroken silence in learning secret things, the lore of all the learned, the seed of all which springs, living or lifeless, still or stirred, whatever beings be. None of them is in all the worlds, but it exists by me, nor tongue can tell, Arjuna, nor end of telling come of these my boundless glories, whereof I teach thee some, for wheresoe'er is wondrous work and majesty and might, from me hath all proceeded. Receive thou this aright. Yet how shouldst thou receive, O Prince, the vastness of this word? I who am all and made it all abide it separate Lord here ENDTH chapter X of the BHAJVAD Gita, entitled Vibhuti Yog, or The Book of Religion by the Heavenly Perfections. Chapter XI, Arjuna, this for my soul's peace have I heard from thee, the unfolding of the mystery supreme, named it he Atman, comprehending which my darkness is dispelled. For now I know, O lotus-eyed. FN-21 Whence is the birth of men, and whence their death, and what the majesties of thine immortal rule. Fain would I see, as thou thyself declarest it, Sovereign Lord, the likeness of that glory of thy form, wholly revealed. O thou divinest one, if this can be, if I may bear the sight, make thyself visible, Lord of all prayers, show me thy very self, the eternal God, Krishna, gaze then, thou son of Pritha, I manifest for thee. Those 100,000,000 shapes that clothe my mystery, I show thee all my semblances, infinite, rich, divine, my changeful hues, my countless forms, see. In this face of mine, Adityas, Vasis, Rudras, Aswins, and Maruts, see, wonders unnumbered, Indian prince, revealed to none save thee, behold, this is the universe, look, what is live and dead, I gather all in one in me. Gaze, as thy lips have said, on God eternal, very God, see me, see what thou prayest. Thou canst not nor with human eyes, Arjuna, ever mayest, therefore I give thee sense divine. Have other eyes new light and look, this is my glory unveiled to mortal sight, Sanjaya. Then, O King, the God, so saying, stood to Pritha's son displaying all the splendor, wonder, dread of his vast almightyhead, out of countless eyes beholding, out of countless mouths commanding, countless mystic forms enfolding in one form, supremely standing, countless radiant glories wearing, countless heavenly weapons bearing. Crowned with garlands of star clusters, robed in garb of woven lusters, breathing from his perfect presence, breaths of every subtle essence, of all heavenly odors, shedding blinding brilliance, overspreading boundless, beautiful all spaces with his all-regarding faces, so he showed. If there should rise suddenly within the skies, sunburst of 1,000 suns, flooding earth with beams undeemed of, then might be that Holy One's majesty and radiance dreamed of, so did Pandu's son behold, all this universe enfold. All its huge diversity, into one vast shape and be, visible and viewed and blended, in one body subtle, splendid, nameless, all-comprehending, God of gods, the never-ending deity, but sore amazed, thrilled, orfilled, dazzled, and dazed, Arjuna knelt and bowed his head and clasped his palms and cried and said, Arjuna, yea, I have seen, I see, Lord, all is wrapped in thee, the gods are in thy glorious frame, the creatures of earth and heaven and hell, in thy divine form dwell. And in thy countenance shine all the features of Brahma, sitting lone, upon his lotus throne of saints and sages and the serpent races. Ananta, Vasuki, yea, mightiest Lord, I see thy 1,000,000 arms and breasts and faces and eyes on every side, perfect, diversified, and nowhere end of thee, nowhere beginning, nowhere a center. Shifts, wherever soul's gaze lifts, thy central self, all-wielding and all-winning infinite king, I see the anatom on thee, the club, the shell, the discus, see thee burning. In beams insufferable, lighting earth, heaven, and hell, with brilliance blazing, glowing, flashing, turning darkness to dazzling day. Look I whichever way, ah Lord, I worship thee, the undivided, the uttermost of thought, the treasure palace wrought, to hold the wealth of the worlds, the shield provided, to shelter virtue's laws, the fount whence life's stream draws, all waters of all rivers of all being, the one unborn, unending, unchanging, and unblending, with might and majesty, past thought, past seeing. Silver of moon and gold, of sun are glories rolled, from thy great eyes, thy visage beaming tender throughout the stars and skies, doth to warm life surprise thy universe. The worlds are filled with wonder of thy perfections. Space, star-sprinkled and void place, from pole to pole of the blue, from bound to bound, hath thee in every spot. Thee, thee, where thou art not, O holy, marvelous form, is nowhere found, O mystic, awful one, at sight of thee made known. The three worlds quake. The lower gods draw nigh thee, they fold their palms and bow, body and breast and brow, and whispering worship, laud and magnify thee, rishis and siddhas cry. Hail, highest majesty! From sage and singer breaks the hymn of glory in dulcet harmony, sounding the praise of thee while countless companies take up the story, Rudras who ride the storms, TH Adityas shining forms, Vasis and Satyas, Viswas, Ashmapas, Maruts and those great twins, the heavenly, fair Aswins. Gandharvas, Rakshasas, Siddhas, and Asuras, FN-22, these see thee and revere, in sudden stricken fear, yea, the world seeing thee with form stupendous, with faces manifold, with eyes which all behold, unnumbered eyes, vast arms, members tremendous, flanks lit with sun and star, feet planted near and far, tushes of terror, mouths wrathful and tender, the three wide worlds before thee, adore as I adore thee, quake as I quake to witness so much splendor. I mark thee strike the skies. With front in wondrous wise, huge, rainbow-painted, glittering, and thy mouth opened, and orbs which see all things, whatever be, in all thy worlds, east, west, and north, and south. O eyes of God, O head, my strength of soul is fled, gone is heart's force, rebuked is mind's desire, when I behold thee so, with awful brows aglow, with burning glance, and lips lighted by fire, fierce as those flames which shall consume at close of all, earth, heaven, ah me, I see no earth and heaven, thee, Lord of lords. I see thee, only thee, now let thy mercy unto me be given, thou refuge of the world. Lo, to the cavern hurled of thy wide open throat and lips white tushed, I see our noblest ones, great Dhritarashtra's sons, Bhishma, Drona, and Karna, caught and crushed, the kings and chiefs drawn in, that gaping gorge within the best of both these armies torn and riven, between thy jaws they lie, mangled full bloodily, ground into dust and death, like streams down-driven, with helpless haste which go. In headlong furious flow, straight to the gulfing deeps of unfilled ocean, so to that flaming cave. Those heroes great and brave pour in unending streams with helpless motion, like moths which in the night flutter towards a light, drawn to their fiery doom, flying and dying, so to their death still throng, blind, dazzled, borne along, ceaselessly all those multitudes, wild flying, thou that hast fashioned men, devourest them again, one with another, great and small, alike, the creatures whom thou maxed. With flaming jaws thou taxed, lapping them up, Lord God, thy terrors strike from end to end of earth, filling life full from birth to death with deadly, burning, lurid dread. Ah, Vishnu, make me know, why is thy visage so? Who art thou, feasting thus upon thy dead? Who, awful deity, I bow myself to thee, Namostuti Divavara. Prasid, FN-23, O mightiest Lord, rehearse. Why hast thou face so fierce? Whence doth this aspect horrible proceed? Krishna, thou seest me as time who kills. Time who brings all to doom. The slayer time, ancient of days, come hither to consume, accepting thee of all these hosts of hostile chiefs arrayed. There stands not one shall leave alive the battlefield. Dismayed, no longer be. Arise, obtain renown, destroy thy foes, fight for the kingdom waiting thee when thou hast vanquished those. By me they fall not thee. The stroke of death is dealt them now, even as they show thus gallantly. My instrument art thou, strike, strong-armed prince, at Drona, at Bhishma strike, deal death. On Karna, Jayadratha, stay all their warlike breath. Tease I who bid them perish. Thou wilt but slay the slain fight. They must fall and thou must live, victor upon this plain, Sanjaya, hearing mighty Keshav's word, tremblingly that helmed Lord clasped his lifted palms and praying. Grace of Krishna stood there, saying, with bowed brow and accents broken, these words, timorously spoken, Arjuna, worthily, Lord of might, the whole world hath delight. In thy surpassing power, obeying thee, the Rakshasas in dread. At sight of thee are sped, to all four quarters, and the company of Siddhas sound thy name. How should they not proclaim? Thy majesty's divinest, mightiest, thou Brahm, then Brahma greater, thou infinite creator, thou God of gods, life's dwelling place and rest, thou of all souls the soul. The comprehending whole of being formed and formless being the framer, O utmost one. O Lord, older than eld, who stored the worlds with wealth of life. O treasure claimer, who wottest all and art wisdom thyself. O part, in all, for all from thee have risen, numberless now I see, the aspects are of thee, Vayu-FN-24 thou art, and he who keeps the prison of Narak, Yama dark, and Agni's shining spark, Varuna's waves are thy waves. Moon and starlight are thine, Prajapati. Art thou and tease to thee. They knelt in worshipping the old world's far light, the first of mortal men. Again, thou God, again, a thousand times be magnified, honor and worship be, glory and praise to thee, Namo, Namaste, cried on every side, cried here above, below, uttered when thou dost go, uttered where thou dost come, Namo we call Namostu, God adored Namostu, nameless Lord, hail to thee, praise to thee, thou one and all, for thou art all, yea, thou, ah, if in anger now. Thou shouldst remember I did think thee friend, speaking with easy speech, as men use each to each did call thee Krishna, prince, nor comprehend thy hidden majesty, the might, the awe of thee did in my heedlessness or in my love, on journey or in jest, or when we lay at rest, sitting at council, straying in the grove, alone or in the throng, do thee most holy. Wrong, be thy grace granted for that witless sin, for thou art, now I know, father of all below, of all above, of all the worlds within. Guru of gurus, more to reverence and adore than all which is adorable and high, how, in the wide worlds three, should any equal be, should any other share thy majesty, therefore, with body bent and reverent intent, I praise and serve and seek thee, asking grace, as father to a son, as friend to friend, as one, who loveth to his lover, turn thy face. In gentleness on me, good is it I did see, this unknown marvel of thy form. but fear mingles with joy. Retake, dear Lord, for pity's sake. Thine earthly shape, which earthly eyes may bear, be merciful and show. The visage that I know, let me regard thee as of yore, arrayed with disc and forehead gem, with mace and anadem, thou that sustainest all things, undismayed. Let me once more behold the form I loved of old, thou of the thousand arms and countless eyes. This frightened heart is fain to see restored again, my charioteer in Krishna's kind disguise. Krishna, yea, thou hast seen Arjuna, because I loved thee well. The secret countenance of me, revealed by mystic spell, shining and wonderful and vast, majestic, manifold, which none save thou in all the years had favor to behold. For not by Vedas cometh this, nor sacrifice, nor alms, nor works well done, nor penance long, nor prayers, nor chanted psalms, that mortal eyes should bear to view the immortal soul unclad. Prince of the Karush, this was kept for thee alone. Be glad, let no more trouble shake thy heart, because thine eyes have seen my terror with my glory. As I before have been, so will I be again for thee, with lightened heart behold. Once more I am thy Krishna, the form thou knewst thee of old Sanjaya. These words to Arjuna spake Vasudev, and straight did take back again the semblance dear of the well-loved charioteer. Peace and joy it did restore, when the prince beheld once more mighty Brahma's form and face, clothed in Krishna's gentle grace. Arjuna, now that I see come back Janardana, this friendly human frame, my mind can think calm thoughts once more, my heart beats still again. Krishna, yea, it was wonderful and terrible to view me as thou didst, dear prince. The gods dread and desire continually to view, yet not by Vedas, nor from sacrifice, nor penance, nor gift-giving, nor with prayer, shall any so behold as thou hast seen. Only by fullest service, perfect faith, and uttermost surrender am I known, and seen and entered into. Indian prince, who doeth all for me, who findeth me, in all, adoreth always, loveth all, which I have made and me for love's sole end, that man, Arjuna, unto me doth wend. Here ENDTH chapter XI of the BHAGVAD Gita, entitled Viswarupadarsanam, or The Book of the Manifesting of the One and Manifold. Chapter XII, Arjuna, Lord, of the men who serve thee true in heart as God revealed, and of the men who serve, worshipping the unrevealed, unbodied far, which take the better way of faith and life, Krishna, whoever serve me as I show myself. Constantly true, in full devotion fixed, those hold I very holy. But who serve, worshipping me the one, the invisible, the unrevealed, unnamed, unthinkable, uttermost, all-pervading, highest, sure, who thus adore me, mastering their sense, of one set mind to all, glad and all good, these blessed souls come unto me. Yet hard, the travail is for such as bend their minds. To reach th, unmanifest, that viewless path, shall scarce be trod by man bearing the flesh, but whereso any doeth all his deeds. Renouncing self for me, full of me, fixed, to serve only the highest, night and day, musing on me him will I swiftly lift, forth from life's ocean of distress and death, whose soul clings fast to me. Cling thou to me, clasp me with heart and mind, so shalt thou dwell surely with me on high. But if thy thought droops from such height, if thou beest he weak to set body and soul upon me constantly, despair not, give me lower service, seek to reach me, worshipping with steadfast will, and if thou canst not worship steadfastly, work for me, toil in works pleasing to me, for he that laboureth right for love of me shall finally attain. But if in this thy faint heart fails, bring me thy failure. Find refuge in me, let fruits of labor go, renouncing hope for me with lowliest heart, so shalt thou come, for though to know is more than diligence, yet worship better is than knowing, and renouncing better still, near to renunciation very near. Dwelleth eternal peace, who hateth not, of all which lives, living himself benign, compassionate from arrogance exempt, exempt from love of self, unchangeable by good or ill, patient, contented, firm in faith, mastering himself, true to his word, seeking me heart and soul, vowed unto me, that man I love, who troubleth not his kind and is not troubled by them, clear of wrath, living too high for gladness, grief, or fear, that man I love, who dwelling quietide, FN-25, stainless, serene, well-balanced, unperplexed, working with me yet from all works detached, that man I love, who fixed in faith on me, dotes upon none, scorns none, rejoices not, and grieves not, letting good or evil hap, light when it will and when it will depart, that man I love, who unto friend and foe, keeping an equal heart with equal mind, bears shame and glory with an equal peace, takes heat and cold, pleasure and pain, abides, quit of desires, hears praise or calumny, in passionless restraint, unmoved by each, linked by no ties to earth, steadfast in me, that man I love. But most of all I love those happy ones to whom 'tis life to live, in single fervid faith and love unseeing, drinking the blessed amrit of my being. Here ENDETH chapter XII of the BHAGVAD Gita, entitled Bhakti Yog, or the Book of the Religion of Faith. Chapter XII Arjuna, now what I hear, O gracious Kesava, FN-26. Of life which seems and soul beyond which sees, and what it is we know or think to know, Krishna, yea, son of Kunti, for this flesh ye see is Kshetra, is the field where life disports, and that which views and knows it is the soul, Kshetrajna. In all fields, thou Indian prince, I am Kshetrajna. I am what surveys, only that knowledge knows which knows the known, by the knower. FN-27 What it is, that field of life, what qualities it hath, and whence it is, and why it changeth, and the faculty. That wotteth it, the mightiness of this, and how it wotteth here these things from me. The elements, the conscious life, the mind, the unseen vital force, the nine strange gates of the body, and the five domains of sense, desire, dislike, pleasure, and pain, and thought, deep woven and persistency of being, these all are wrought on matter by the soul, humbleness, truthfulness, and harmlessness, patience and honor, reverence for the wise, purity, constancy, control of self, contempt of sense delights, self-sacrifice, perception of the certitude of ill. In birth, death, age, disease, suffering, and sin, detachment, lightly holding unto home, children and wife, and all that bindeth men, an ever tranquil heart in fortune's good, and fortune's evil with a will set firm, to worship me only. Ceasing not loving all solitudes and shunning noise, of foolish crowds, endeavors resolute, to reach perception of the utmost soul, and grace to understand what gain it were, so to attain this is true wisdom, prince, and what is otherwise is ignorance. Now will I speak of knowledge best to know, that truth which giveth man amrit to drink, the truth of HIM, the Parabrahm, the All, the Uncreated, not Asat, not Sat, not Form, nor the Unformed, yet both and more, whose hands are everywhere and everywhere, planted his feet and everywhere his eyes, beholding and his ears in every place, hearing and all his faces everywhere, enlightening and encompassing his worlds, glorified in the senses he hath given, yet beyond sense he is, sustaining all. Yet dwells he unattached, of forms and modes, master yet neither form nor mode hath he is within all beings and without, motionless yet still moving, not discerned, for subtlety of instant presence, close to all to each, yet measurelessly far, not manifold and yet subsisting still, in all which lives, forever to be known, as the sustainer yet at the end of times, he maketh all to end and recreates, the light of lights he is in the heart of the dark, shining eternally, wisdom he is. And wisdom's way and guide of all the wise, planted in every heart, so have I told, of life's stuff and the molding and the lore to comprehend. Whoso, adoring me, perceiveth this shall surely come to me. Know thou that nature and the spirit both have no beginning. Know that qualities and changes of them are by nature wrought, that nature puts to work the acting frame, but spirit doth inform it and so cause feeling of pain and pleasure. Spirit linked to molded matter entereth into bond. With qualities by nature framed and thus married to matter breeds the birth again in good or evil Janus. FN-29. Yet is this, yea, in its bodily prison, spirit pure, spirit supreme, surveying, governing, guarding, possessing, lord and master still, Purusha, ultimate, one soul with me. Whoso thus knows himself and knows his soul, Purusha, working through the qualities, with nature's modes, the light hath come for him. Whatever flesh he bears, never again shall he take on its load. Some few there be, by meditation find the soul in self, self-schooled, and some by long philosophy, and holy life reach thither, some by works, some never so attaining, hear of light from other lips and sees and cleave to it, worshipping, yea, and those to teaching true overpass death, wherever Indian prince life is of moving things or things unmoved, plant or still seed know, what is there hath grown, by bond of matter and of spirit, no, he sees indeed who sees in all alike, the living, lordly soul, the soul supreme. Imperishable amid the perishing, for whoso thus beholds in every place, in every form the same one living life, doth no more wrongfulness unto himself, but goes the highest road which brings to bliss. Seeing he sees indeed who sees that works, our nature's want for soul to practice by, acting yet not the agent, sees the mass of separate living things each of its kind, issue from one and blend again to one, then hath he Brahma, he attains, O prince, that ultimate, high spirit, uncreate. Unqualified, even when it entereth flesh, taketh no stain of acts, worketh in naught, like to the ethereal air pervading all, which for sheer subtlety avoideth taint, the subtle soul sits everywhere, unstained, like to the light of the all-piercing sun, which is not changed by aught it shines upon. The soul's light shineth pure in every place, and they who by such eye of wisdom see how matter and what deals with it divide and how the spirit and the flesh have strife, those wise ones go the way which leads to life. Here ends chapter XIII of the Bhagavad Gita, entitled Kshetrakshetrajna Vibhagyog, or the Book of Religion by Separation of Matter and Spirit. Chapter XIV, Krishna, yet farther will I open unto thee, this wisdom of all wisdoms uttermost, the which possessing all my saints have passed to perfectness. On such high verities, reliant, rising into fellowship. With me they are not born again at birth, of kalpas, nor at pralayas suffer change. This universe the womb is where I plant, seed of all lives. Thence, Prince of India, comes birth to all beings. Whoso Kunti's son, mothers each mortal form Brahma conceives, and I am he that fathers sending seed, Satwin, Rajas, and Tamas so are named, the qualities of nature, soothfastness, passion, and ignorance. These three bind down the changeless spirit in the changeful flesh, whereof sweet soothfastness, by purity, living unsullied and enlightened binds. The sinless soul to happiness and truth and passion being kin to appetite and breeding impulse and propensity, binds the embodied soul, O Kunti's son, by tie of works. But ignorance begot of darkness blinding mortal men binds down their souls to stupor, sloth, and drowsiness, yea, Prince of India. Soothfastness binds souls, in pleasant wise to flesh, and passion binds, by toilsome strain, but ignorance which blots, the beams of wisdom binds the soul to sloth. Passion and ignorance once overcome, leave soothfastness, O Bharata. Where this, with ignorance are absent, passion rules and ignorance in hearts not good nor quick. When at all gateways of the body shines, the lamp of knowledge, then may one see well. Soothfastness settled in that city reigns where longing is and ardor and unrest, impulse to strive and gain and avarice, those spring from passion prints ingrained, and where darkness and dullness, sloth and stupor are, tease ignorance hath caused them, Kuru chief. Moreover, when a soul departeth fixed in soothfastness, it goeth to the place, perfect and pure of those that know all truth, if it departeth in set habitude, of impulse it shall pass into the world, of spirits tied to works, and if it dies, in hardened ignorance that blinded soul is born anew in some unlighted womb. The fruit of soothfastness is true and sweet, the fruit of lusts is pain and toil, the fruit of ignorance is deeper darkness. Yea. For light brings light and passion ache to have, and gloom, bewilderments, and ignorance grow forth from ignorance. Those of the first rise ever higher, those of the second mode take a mid place, the darkened souls sink back to lower deeps loaded with witlessness, when watching life the living man perceives, the only actors are the qualities and knows what rules beyond the qualities, then is he come nigh unto me, the soul, thus passing forth from the three qualities, whereby arise all bodies overcomes. Birth, death, sorrow, and age, and drinketh deep, the undying wine of Amrit, Arjuna, O my lord, which be the signs to know him that hath gone past the three modes? How liveth he, what way, leadeth him safe beyond the threefold modes, Krishna, he who with equanimity surveys, luster of goodness, strife of passion, sloth of ignorance, not angry if they are, not wishful when they are not, he who sits, a sojourner and stranger in their midst. Unruffled standing off, saying serene, when troubles break, these be the qualities. He unto whomself scented grief and joy, sound as one word to whose deep-seeing eyes, the clod, the marble, and the gold are one, whose equal heart holds the same gentleness, for lovely and unlovely things, firm set, well-pleased in praise and dispraise, satisfied with honor or dishonor, unto friends, and unto foes alike in tolerance, detached from undertakings he is named, surmounter of the qualities, and such. Single, fervent faith adoring me, passing beyond the qualities, conforms to Brahma and attains me, for I am, that whereof Brahma is the likeness. Mine, the Amrit is, and immortality is mine, and mine perfect felicity. Here ends chapter XIV. Of the Bhagavad-gita, entitled Gunatrayavibhagayag, or The Book of Religion by Separation from the Qualities. Chapter XV, Krishna, men call the Swatha, the banyan tree, which hath its boughs beneath, its roots above, the ever-holy tree. Yea. For its leaves are green and waving hymns which whisper truth, who knows the Aswattha, knows Veds and all, its branches shoot to heaven and sink to earth, FN-30. Even as the deeds of men which take their birth from qualities, its silver sprays and blooms, and all the eager verdure of its girth, leap to quick life at kiss of sun and air, as men's lives quicken to the tempting's fair, of wooing sense, its hanging rootlets seek, the soil beneath helping to hold it there. As actions wrought amid this world of men, bind them by ever-tightening bonds again, if you knew well the teaching of the tree, what its shape saith, and whence it springs, and then, how it must end, and all the ills of it, the axe of sharp detachment you would wet, and cleave the clinging snaky roots, and lay, this a swatha of sense life lotus set, new growths upspringing to that happier sky, which they who reach shall have no day to die, nor fade away, nor fall to him, I mean, father and first, who made the mystery. Of old creation, for to him come they from passion and from dreams who break away, who part the bonds constraining them to flesh. And him, the highest, worshipping alway, no longer grow at mercy of what breeze of summer pleasure stirs the sleeping trees. What blast of tempest tears them, bough and stem? To the eternal world past such as these, another sun gleams there. Another moon, another light, not dusk, nor dawn, nor noon. Which they who once behold return no more, they have attained my rest, life's utmost boon. When, in this world of manifested life, the undying spirit setting forth from me, taketh on form it droth to itself, from being's storehouse which containeth all senses and intellect. The sovereign soul, thus entering the flesh or quitting it, gathers these up as the wind gathers scents, blowing above the flower beds. Ear and eye, and touch and taste, and smelling, these it takes, yea, and a sentient mind linking itself. To sense things so, the unenlightened ones, mark not that spirit when he goes or comes, nor when he takes his pleasure in the form, conjoined with qualities, but those see plain who have the eyes to see. Holy souls see which strive thereto. Enlightened they perceive that spirit in themselves, but foolish ones, even though they strive, discern not, having hearts, unkindled, ill-informed, know, too, from me, shineth the gathered glory of the suns, which lighten all the world, from me the moons. Draw silvery beams and fire fierce loveliness. I penetrate the clay and lend all shapes their living force. I glide into the plant, root, leaf, and bloom to make the woodlands green with springing sap, becoming vital warmth. I glow in glad, respiring frames and pass with outward and with inward breath to feed the body by all meats. FN-31. For in this world, being is twofold, the divided one, the undivided one. All things that live are the divided, that which sits apart. The undivided, higher still is he, the highest, holding all, whose name is Lord, the eternal, sovereign first, who fills all worlds, sustaining them, and dwelling thus beyond, divided being and undivided I, am called of men and Vedas, life supreme, the PURUSHOTTMA, who knows me thus, with mind unclouded knoweth all, dear prince, and with his whole soul ever worshipeth me, now is the sacred, secret mystery, declared to thee, who comprehendeth this, hath wisdom. He is quit of works in bliss, here ends chapter XV. Of the Bhagavad Gita, entitled Purushottamaprabhyag, or The Book of Religion by Attaining the Supreme. Chapter XVI, Krishna fearlessness, singleness of soul, the will, always to strive for wisdom, opened hand and governed appetites and piety and love of lonely study, humbleness, uprightness, heed to injure not which lives, truthfulness, slowness unto wrath, a mind that lightly letteth go what others prize, and equanimity and charity, which spieth no man's faults, and tenderness towards all that suffer, a contented heart, fluttered by no desires, a bearing mild, modest and grave, with manhood nobly mixed, with patience, fortitude and purity, an unrevengeful spirit, never given to rate itself too high. Such be the signs, O Indian prince, of him whose feet are set on that fair path which leads to heavenly birth, deceitfulness and arrogance and pride, quickness to anger, harsh and evil speech, and ignorance to its own darkness blind. These be the signs, my prince, of him whose birth is fated for the regions of the vile. FN-32. The heavenly birth brings to deliverance, so shouldst thou know. The birth with asuras brings into bondage. Be thou joyous, prince, whose lot is set apart for heavenly birth. Two stamps there are marked on all living men, divine and undivine. I spake to thee, by what marks thou shouldst know the heavenly man. Hear from me now of the unheavenly, they comprehend not the unheavenly. How souls go forth from me, nor how they come back unto me, nor is there truth in these, nor purity, nor rule of life. This world hath not a law, nor order, nor a lord, so say they, nor hath risen up by cause, following on cause in perfect purposing, but is none other than a house of lust. And this thing thinking, all those ruined ones, of little wit, dark-minded, give themselves to evil deeds, the curses of their kind. Surrendered to desires insatiable, full of deceitfulness, folly, and pride, in blindness cleaving to their errors caught, into the sinful course they trust this lie, as it were true this lie which leads to death, finding in pleasure all the good which is, and crying, here it finisheth. Ensnared in nooses of 100 idle hopes, slaves to their passion and their wrath, they buy wealth with base deeds to glut hot appetites. Thus much today, they say, we gained thereby. Such and such wish of heart shall have its fill, and this is ours. And th other shall be ours. Today we slew a foe, and we will slay our other enemy tomorrow. Look, are we not lords? Make we not goodly cheer? Is not our fortune famous, brave, and great? Rich are we, proudly born? What other men live like to us? Kill then for sacrifice, cast largesse, and be merry? So they speak, darkened by ignorance, and so they fall, tossed to and fro with projects, tricked and bound. In net of black delusion, lost in lusts, down to foul naraka. Conceited, fond, stubborn, and proud, dead drunken with the wine of wealth, and reckless all their offerings, have but a show of reverence being not made, in piety of ancient faith. Thus vowed, to selfhood force, insolence, feasting, wrath, these my blasphemers in the forms they wear, and in the forms they breed my foemen are, hateful and hating, cruel, evil, vile, lowest and least of men whom I cast down, again and yet again at end of lives. Into some devilish womb, whence birth by birth. The devilish wombs respawn them, all beguiled and, till they find and worship me, sweet prince tread they that nether road, the doors of hell, are threefold, whereby men to ruin pass, the door of lust, the door of wrath, the door of avarice. Let a man shun those three, he who shall turn aside from entering, all those three gates of Narak wendeth straight to find his peace and comes to Swarga's gate. Here ENDETH chapter XVI. Of the BHAGAVAD Gita, entitled Devasarasopadwibhagayog, or The Book of the Separateness of the Divine and Undivine. Chapter XVII, Arjuna, if men forsake the holy ordinance, heedless of Shastras, yet keep faith at heart, and worship, what shall be the state of those, great Krishna? Satwin Rajas Tamas, say, Krishna, threefold the faith is of mankind and springs, from those three qualities becoming true, or passion-stained, or dark, as thou shalt hear. The faith of each believer, Indian prince, conforms itself to what he truly is. Where thou shalt see a worshipper, that one, to what he worships lives assimilate, such as the shrine, so is the votary. The soothfast souls adore true gods, the souls, obeying Rajas worship Rakshasas FN-34, or Yakshas, and the men of darkness pray, to Pretas and to Buddhas. FN-35, yea, and those, who practice bitter penance, not enjoined, by rightful rule penance which hath its root. In self-sufficient, proud hypocrisies, those men, passion-beset, violent, wild, torturing the witless ones my elements, shut in fair company within their flesh. Nay, me myself, present within the flesh. Know them to devils devoted, not to heaven, for like as foods are threefold for mankind. In nourishing, so is their threefold way of worship, abstinence, and almsgiving, hear this of me. There is a food which brings force, substance, strength, and health, and joy to live, being well-seasoned, cordial, comforting. Soothfast meat. And there be foods which bring aches and unrests and burning blood and grief, being too biting, heating, salt, and sharp, and therefore craved by too strong appetite, and there is foul food kept from overnight, FN-36, savorless filthy which the fowl will eat, a feast of rottenness meat for the lips, of such as love the darkness. Thus with rites, a sacrifice not for rewardment made, offered in rightful wise when he who vows, saith with heart devout, this I should do. Is soothfast right, but sacrifice for gain, offered for good repute, be sure that this, O best of Bharatas, is Rajas rite, with stamp of passion. And a sacrifice offered against the laws with no due dole, of food giving with no accompaniment of hallowed hymn nor largesse to the priests, in faithless celebration call it vile the deed of darkness, lost, worship of gods, meriting worship, lowly reverence, of twice-borns, teachers, elders, purity, rectitude, and the brahmacharya's vow. And not to injure any helpless thing, these make a true religiousness of act, words causing no man woe, words ever true, gentle and pleasing words, and those ye say, in murmured reading of a sacred writ. These make the true religiousness of speech, serenity of soul, benignity, sway of the silent spirit, constant stress. To sanctify the nature these things make, good right and true religiousness of mind. Such threefold faith in highest piety, kept with no hope of gain by hearts devote. Is perfect work of Satwin, true belief, religion shown in act of proud display, to win good entertainment, worship, fame, such say eyes of Rajas, rash and vain, religion followed by a witless will to torture self or come at power to hurt, another tis of tamas, dark and ill, the gift lovingly given when one shall say, now must I gladly give, when he who takes, can render nothing back, made in due place, due time, and to a meet recipient, is gift of Satwin, fair and profitable. The gift selfishly given, where to receive, is hoped again or when some end is sought, or where the gift is proffered with a grudge, this is of Rajas, stained with impulse, ill, the gift churlishly flung at evil time, in wrongful place to base recipient, made in disdain or harsh unkindliness, is gift of Tamas, dark, it doth not bless, FN-37, here ENDETH chapter XVII, of the BHAGAVAD Gita, entitled Esratatraya Vipagayag, or the Book of Religion by the Threefold Kinds of Faith. Chapter XVII, Arjuna, fain would I better know, thou glorious one, the very truth heart's lord of sanyas, abstention, and enunciation, lord tyaga, and what separates these twain, Krishna, the poets rightly teach that sanyas, is the foregoing of all acts which spring, out of desire, and their wisest say, tyaga is renouncing fruit of acts, there be among the saints some who have held. all actions sinful, and to be renounced, and some who answer, nay, the goodly acts as worship, penance, alms must be performed. Hear now my sentence, best of Bharatas. 'Tis well set forth, O chaser of thy foes, renunciation is of threefold form, and worship, penance, alms not to be stayed, nay, to be gladly done, for all those three are purifying waters for true souls, yet must be practiced even those high works, in yielding up attachment and all fruit produced by works. This is my judgment, Prince, this my insuperable and fixed decree, abstaining from a work by right prescribed, never is meet, so to abstain doth spring from darkness, and delusion teacheth it, abstaining from a work grievous to flesh, when one saith, 'tis unpleasing. This is null, such an one acts from passion, not of gain, wins his renunciation. But Arjun abstaining from attachment to the work, abstaining from rewardment in the work, while yet one doeth it full faithfully, saying, 'tis right to do.' That is true act and abstinence. Who doeth duty so, unvexed if his work fail, if it succeed, unflattered in his own heart justified, quit of debates and doubts, his is true act, for being in the body none may stand, wholly aloof from act, yet who abstains from profit of his acts is abstinent. The fruit of labors in the lives to come is threefold for all men, desirable and undesirable and mixed of both, but no fruit is at all where no work was. Hear from me, long-armed Lord. The makings five, which go to every act in Sankhya taught as necessary, first the force and then the agent, next the various instruments, fourth the especial effort, fifth the God, what work soever any mortal doth of body, mind, or speech, evil or good, by these five doth he that. Which being thus, whoso for lack of knowledge seeth himself, as the sole actor knoweth not at all and seeth not. Therefore, I say, if one, holding aloof from self with unstained mind, should slay all yonder host, being bid to slay, he doth not slay, he is not bound thereby, knowledge, the thing known, and the mind which knows, these make the threefold starting ground of act, the actor, and the instrument, these make the threefold total of the deed. But knowledge, agent, act are differenced by three dividing qualities. Hear now, which be the qualities dividing them, there is true knowledge. Learn thou it is this, to see one changeless life in all the lives, and in the separate, one inseparable. There is imperfect knowledge, that which sees the separate existences apart, and being separated holds them real. There is false knowledge, that which blindly clings to one as if twere all, seeking no cause, deprived of light, narrow and dull and dark. There is right action, that which being enjoined is wrought without attachment, passionlessly, for duty, not for love, nor hate, nor gain. There is vain action, that which men pursue, aching to satisfy desires, impelled by sense of self with all-absorbing stress. This is of rajas passionate and vain. There is dark action, when one doth a thing heedless of issues, heedless of the hurt or wrong for others, heedless if he harm his own soul, tees of tamas, black and bad, there is the rightful doer. He who acts, free from self-seeking, humble, resolute, steadfast, in good or evil hap the same, content to do aright, he truly acts. There is impassioned doer. He that works from impulse, seeking profit, rude and bold, to overcome, unchastened, slave by turns. Of sorrow and of joy, of rajas he, and there be evil doers, loose of heart, low-minded, stubborn, fraudulent, remiss, dull, slow, despondent children of the dark. Here too of intellect and steadfastness, the threefold separation, conquer prince how these are set apart by qualities. Good is the intellect which comprehends the coming forth and going back of life, what must be done and what must not be done, what should be feared and what should not be feared. What binds and what emancipates the soul, that is of Satwin, prince, of soothfastness. Marred is the intellect which, knowing right and knowing wrong and what is well to do and what must not be done, yet understands not with firm mind, nor as the calm truth is, this is of rajas, prince, and passionate. Evil is intellect which, wrapped in gloom, looks upon wrong as right and sees all things contrariwise of truth. O Pritha's son, that is of tamas, dark and desperate. Good is the steadfastness whereby a man masters his beats of heart, his very breath, of life the action of his senses, fixed in never shaken faith and piety, that is of Satwin, prince. Soothfast and fair stained is the steadfastness whereby a man holds to his duty, purpose, effort, end, for life's sake and the love of goods to gain, Arjuna. Tease of rajas, passion stamped sad is the steadfastness wherewith the fool cleaves to his sloth, his sorrow and his fears, his folly and despair. This Pritha's son is born of tamas, dark and miserable. Hear further, chief of Bharatas. For me, the threefold kinds of pleasure which there be, good pleasure is the pleasure that endures, banishing pain for eye, bitter at first as poison to the soul, but afterwards sweet as the taste of amrit. Drink of that, it springeth in the spirit's deep content, and painful pleasure springeth from the bond between the senses and the sense world. Sweet as amrit is its first taste, but its last, bitter as poison. teas of Rajas prince. And foul and dark, the pleasure is which springs from sloth and sin and foolishness, at first, and at the last and all the way of life, the soul bewildering. Teas of Tamas prince, for nothing lives on earth nor midst the gods in utmost heaven but hath its being bound, with these three qualities by nature framed, the work of Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaisyas, and Sudras, O thou slayer of thy foes, is fixed by reason of the qualities, planted in each, a Brahmin's virtues, prince. Born of his nature are serenity, self-mastery, religion, purity, patience, uprightness, learning, and to know the truth of things which be. A Kshatriya's pride, born of his nature, lives in valor, fire, constancy, skillfulness, spirit in fight, and open-handedness and noble mien, as of a lord of men. A Vaisya's task, born with his nature, is to till the ground, tend cattle, venture trade. A Sudra's state, suiting his nature, is to minister, whoso performeth diligent, content. The work allotted him, whate'er it be, lays hold of perfectness. Hear how a man findeth perfection, being so content, he findeth it through worship wrought by work of him that is the source of all which lives, of him by whom the universe was stretched. Better than own work is, though done with fault, than doing others' work even excellently. He shall not fall in sin who fronts the task, set him by nature's hand. Let no man leave his natural duty, prince, though it bear blame. For every work hath blame, as every flame is wrapped in smoke. Only that man attains perfect surcease of work whose work was wrought, with mind unfettered, soul wholly subdued, desires forever dead, results renounced, learn from me, son of Kunti. Also this, how one attaining perfect peace attains, Brahm the supreme, the highest height of all, devoted with a heart grown pure, restrained, in lordly self-control, foregoing wiles of song and senses, freed from love and hate. Dwelling mid solitudes in diet spare, with body, speech, and will tame to obey, ever to holy meditation vowed, from passions liberate, quit of the self, of arrogance, impatience, anger, pride, freed from surroundings, quiet, lacking not. Such an one grows to oneness with the Brahm, such an one, growing one with Brahm, serene, sorrows no more, desires no more, his soul, equally loving all that lives, loves well me, who have made them and attains to me. By the same love and worship doth he know me as I am, how high and wonderful, and knowing, straightway enters into me, and whatsoever deeds he doeth fixed in me, as in his refuge he hath won, forever and forever by my grace, th eternal rest, so when thou in thy thoughts do all thou dost for me, renounce for me, sacrifice heart and mind and will to me, live in the faith of me. In faith of me, all dangers thou shalt vanquish by my grace, but trusting to thyself and heeding not. Thou canst he but perish. If this day thou sayst he, relying on thyself, I will not fight. Vain will the purpose prove, thy qualities would spur thee to the war. What thou dost shun, misled by fair illusions, thou wouldst seek, against thy will, when the task comes to thee, waking the promptings in thy nature set. There lives a master in the hearts of men, maketh their deeds by subtle pulling strings, dance to what tune he will. With all thy soul, trust him and take him for thy succor, prince. So only so, Arjuna, shalt thou gain, by grace of him the uttermost repose, the eternal place. Thus hath been opened thee, this truth of truths, the mystery more hid than any secret mystery. Meditate, and as thou wilt then act, nay, but once more take my last word, my utmost meaning have, precious thou art to me, right well beloved, listen, I tell thee for thy comfort this, give me thy heart, adore me, serve me, cling in faith and love and reverence to me, so shalt thou come to me, I promise true. For thou art sweet to me, and let go those rites and writ duties. Fly to me alone, make me thy single refuge, I will free thy soul from all its sins. Be of good cheer, hide, the holy Krishna saith, this from him that hath no faith, him that worships not nor seeks wisdom's teaching when she speaks, hide it from all men who mock, but wherever, mid the flock of my lovers, one shall teach this divinest, wisest speech, teaching in the faith to bring truth to them and offering of all honor unto me. Unto Brahma cometh he, nay, and nowhere shall he find any man of all mankind doing dearer deed for me, nor shall any dearer be in my earth. Yea, furthermore, whoso reads this converse o'er, held by us upon the plain, pondering piously and fain, he hath paid me sacrifice. Krishna speaketh in this wise. Yea, and whoso, full of faith, heareth wisely what it saith, heareth meekly when he dies, surely shall his spirit rise to those regions where the blessed, free of flesh, in joyance rest. Hath this been heard by thee, O Indian prince, with mind intent? Hath all the ignorance which bred thy trouble vanished, my Arjun, Arjuna, trouble and ignorance are gone? The light hath come unto me by thy favor, Lord, now am I fixed. My doubt is fled away, according to thy word, so will I do, Sanjaya. Thus gathered I the gracious speech of Krishna, O my king, thus have I told, with heart athrill, this wise and wondrous thing. By great Vyasa's learning writ, how Krishna's self made known, the yoga being yoga's lord. So is the high truth shown, and I when I remember, O Lord my King, again, Arjuna and the god in talk and all this holy strain. Great is my gladness, when I muse that splendor passing speech, of Hari visible and plain, there is no tongue to reach, my marvel and my love and bliss. O Archer Prince, all hail, O Krishna, Lord of Yoga, surely there shall not fail. Blessing and victory and power for thy most mighty sake, where the song comes of Arjun and how with God he spake, here ends with chapter XVII, entitled Mokshasannyasyog, or The Book of Religion by Deliverance and Renunciation, the BHAGVD Gita. FN-1 Some repetitionary lines are here omitted. FN-2 Technical phrases of Vedic religion. FN-3 The whole of this passage is highly involved and difficult to render. FN-4 I feel convinced Sankhyanan and Yoganan must be transposed, here in sense. FN-5 I am doubtful of accuracy here. FN-6 A name of the sun. FN-7 Without desire of fruit. FN-8 That is, joy and sorrow, success and failure, heat and cold, and sea. FN-9 I.e., the body. FN-10 The Sanskrit has this play on the double meaning of Atman. FN-11 So an original. FN-12 Beings of low and devilish nature. FN-13 Krishna. FN-14 I read here Janma, birth, not Jara, age. FN-15 I have discarded 10 lines of Sanskrit text here as an undoubted interpolation by some Vedantist. FN-16 The Sanskrit poem here rises to an elevation of style and manner which I have endeavored to mark by change of meter. FN-17 Ahimsa. FN-18 The nectar of immortality. FN-19 called the Jap. FN-20 The compound form of Sanskrit words. FN-21 Kamalapatraksha. FN-22 These are all divine or deified orders of the Hindu pantheon. FN-23 Hail to thee, God of gods, be favorable. FN-24 The wind. FN-25 Not peering about. Anapsha. FN-26 The Calcutta edition of the Mahabharata has these three opening lines. FN-27, this is the nearest possible version of Kshetrakshetranajnanan Yat Tajnan Matan Mama. FN-28, I omit two lines of the Sanskrit here, evidently interpolated by some Vedantist. FN-29 Wombs. FN-30, I do not consider the Sanskrit verses here, which are somewhat freely rendered, an attack on the authority of the Vedas, with Mr. Davies, but a beautiful lyrical episode, a new parable of the fig tree. FN-31 I omit a verse here, evidently interpolated. FN-32 of the Usuras, lit. FN-33 I omit the 10 concluding shlokas, with Mr. Davis. FN-34 Rakshasas and Yakshas are unembodied but capricious beings, of great power, gifts, and beauty, same times also of benignity. FN-35 These are spirits of evil wandering ghosts. FN-36 Yadyaman, food which has remained after the watches of the night, in India this would probably go bad. FN-37 I omit the concluding shlokas, as of very doubtful authenticity. End of the project GUTMBRG EBOOK The Song Celestial, or Bhagavad Gita from the Mahabharata. Updated editions will replace the previous one, the old editions will be renamed. Creating the works from print editions not protected by U.S. copyright. Law means that no one owns a United States copyright in these works, so the foundation and you can copy and distribute it in the United States without permission and without paying copyright royalties. Special rules set forth in the general terms of use part of this license apply to copying and distributing project. Gutenberg trademark electronic works to protect the project GUTMBRGTM concept and trademark. Project Gutenberg is a registered trademark and may not be used if you charge for an ebook, except by following the terms of the trademark license, including paying royalties for use of the Project Gutenberg trademark. If you do not charge anything for copies of this ebook, complying with the trademark license is very easy. You may use this ebook for nearly any purpose, such as creation of derivative works, reports, performances, and research. Project Gutenberg ebooks may be modified and printed and given away. You may do practically anything in the United States with ebooks not protected by U.S. copyright law. Redistribution is subject to the trademark license, especially commercial redistribution. Start full license. The full Project GUTMBRGTM license. Please read this before you distribute or use this work to protect the Project Gutenberg trademark mission of promoting the free distribution of electronic works by using or distributing this work, or any other work associated in any way with the phrase Project Gutenberg, you agree to comply with all the terms of the full Project Gutenberg license available with this file or online at www.gutenberg.org/license. Section 1. General Terms of Use and Redistributing Project Gutenberg Electronic Works. 1. A. By reading or using any part of this Project Gutenberg electronic work, you indicate that you have read, understand, agree to, and accept all the terms of this license and intellectual property, trademark, copyright, agreement. If you do not agree to abide by all the terms of this agreement, you must cease using and return or destroy all copies of Project Gutenberg electronic works in your possession. If you paid a fee for obtaining a copy of or access to a Project Gutenberg electronic work and you do not agree to be bound by the terms of this agreement, you may obtain a refund from the person or entity to whom you paid the fee as set forth in paragraph 1E8, 1B. Project Gutenberg is a registered trademark. It may only be used on or associated in any way with an electronic work by people who agree to be bound by the terms of this agreement. There are a few things that you can do with most Project Gutenberg electronic works, even without complying with the full terms of this agreement. C. Paragraph 1C below. There are a lot of things you can do with Project Gutenberg electronic works if you follow the terms of this agreement and help preserve free future access to Project Gutenberg electronic works. See paragraph 1E below 1C. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the Foundation or PGLAF, owns a compilation copyright in the collection of Project Gutenberg electronic works. Nearly all the individual works in the collection are in the public domain in the United States. If an individual work is unprotected by copyright law in the United States and you are located in the United States, we do not claim a right to prevent you from copying, distributing, performing, displaying, or creating derivative works based on the work as long as all references to Project Gutenberg are removed. Of course, we hope that you will support the Project Gutenberg mission of promoting free access to electronic works by freely sharing Project Gutenberg works in compliance with the terms of this agreement for keeping the Project Gutenberg name associated with the work. You can easily comply with the terms of this agreement by keeping this work in the same format with its attached full Project Gutenberg license when you share it without charge with others. 1D. The copyright laws of the place where you are located also govern what you can do with this work. Copyright laws in most countries are in a constant state of change. If you are outside the United States, check the laws of your country in addition to the terms of this agreement before downloading, copying, displaying, performing, distributing, or creating derivative works based on this work or any other Project Gutenberg work. The Foundation makes no representations concerning the copyright status of any work in any country other than the United States. 1E. Unless you have removed all references to Project Gutenberg, 1E1, the following sentence with active links to or other immediate access to the full Project Gutenberg license must appear prominently whenever any copy of a Project Gutenberg work, any work on which the phrase Project Gutenberg appears or with which the phrase Project Gutenberg is associated, is accessed, displayed, performed, viewed, copied, or distributed. This ebook is for the use of anyone anywhere in the United States and most other parts of the world at no cost and with almost no restrictions whatsoever. You may copy it, give it away, or reuse it under the terms of the Project Gutenberg trademark license included with this ebook or online at www.gutenberg.org. If you are not located in the United States, you will have to check the laws of the country where you are located before using this ebook. 1E2. If an individual Project Gutenberg electronic work is derived from texts not protected by U.S. copyright law, does not contain a notice indicating that it is posted with permission of the copyright holder, the work can be copied and distributed to anyone in the United States without paying any fees or charges. If you are redistributing or providing access to a work with the phrase Project Gutenberg associated with or appearing on the work, you must comply either with the requirements of paragraphs 1E1 through 1E7, or obtain permission for the use of the work and the Project Gutenberg trademark as set forth in paragraphs 1E8 or 1E9. 1E3. If an individual Project Gutenberg electronic work is posted with the permission of the copyright holder, your use and distribution must comply with both paragraphs 1E1 through 1E7 and any additional terms imposed by the copyright holder. Additional terms will be linked to the Project Gutenberg license for all works, posted with the permission of the copyright holder found at the beginning of this work. 1E4. Do not unlink or detach or remove the full Project Gutenberg license terms from this work or any files containing a part of this work or any other work associated with Project Gutenberg. 1E5. Do not copy, display, perform, distribute, or redistribute this electronic work or any part of this electronic work without prominently displaying the sentence set forth in paragraph 1E1 with active links or immediate access to the full terms of the project. Gutenberg license. 1E6. You may convert to and distribute this work in any binary, compressed, marked up, non-proprietary or proprietary form, including any word processing or hypertext form. However, if you provide access to or distribute copies of a Project Gutenberg work in a format other than plain vanilla ASCII or other format used in the official version posted on the official Project Gutenberg website, www.gutenberg.org, you must, at no additional cost, fee, or expense to the user, provide a copy, a means of exporting a copy, or a means of obtaining a copy upon request of the work in its original, plain vanilla ASCII or other form. Any alternate format must include the full Project Gutenberg license as specified in paragraph 1E1(1)(e)(7). Do not charge a fee for access to, viewing, displaying, performing, copying, or distributing any Project Gutenberg works, unless you comply with paragraph 1E8 or 1E9. 1E8. You may charge a reasonable fee for copies of or providing access to or distributing Project Gutenberg electronic works, provided that you pay a royalty fee of 20% of the gross profits you derive from the use of Project Gutenberg works calculated using the method you already use to calculate your applicable taxes. The fee is owed to the owner of the Project Gutenberg trademark, but he has agreed to donate royalties under this paragraph to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. Royalty payments must be paid within 60 days following each date on which you prepare or are legally required to prepare your periodic tax returns. Royalty payments should be clearly marked as such and sent to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation at the address specified in Section 4, Information about donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. You provide a full refund of any money paid by a user who notifies you in writing or by email within 30 days of receipt that /he does not agree to the terms of the full Project Gutenberg trademark license. You must require such a user to return or destroy all copies of the works possessed in a physical medium and discontinue all use of and all access to other copies of Project Gutenberg trademark works. You provide, in accordance with paragraph 1F3, a full refund of any money paid for a work or a replacement copy if a defect in the electronic work is discovered and reported to you within 90 days of receipt of the work. You comply with all other terms of this agreement for free distribution of Project Gutenberg trademark works. 1E9. If you wish to charge a fee or distribute a Project Gutenberg trademark electronic work or group of works on different terms than are set forth in this agreement, you must obtain permission in writing from the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the manager of the Project Gutenberg trademark. Contact the foundation as set forth in Section 3 below, 1F1F1. Project Gutenberg volunteers and employees expend considerable effort to identify, do copyright research on, transcribe, and proofread works not protected by U.S. copyright law in creating the Project Gutenberg trademark collection. Despite these efforts, Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works and the medium on which they may be stored may contain defects, such as but not limited to incomplete, inaccurate, or corrupt data, transcription errors, a copyright or other intellectual property infringement, a defective or damaged disk or other medium, a computer virus or computer codes that damage or cannot be read by your equipment. 1F2. Limited warranty, disclaimer of DAMAGES, except for the right of replacement or refund described in paragraph 1F3, the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the owner of the Project Gutenberg trademark, and any other party distributing a Project Gutenberg trademark electronic work under this agreement, disclaim all liability to you for damages, costs, and expenses, including legal fees. You agree that you have no remedies for negligence, strict liability, breach of warranty, or breach of contract except those provided in paragraph 1F3. You agree that the foundation, THE, trademark owner, and any distributor under this agreement will not be liable to you for actual, direct, indirect, consequential, punitive or incidental damages, even if you give notice of the possibility of such damage. 1F3. Limited right of replacement or refund. If you discover a defect in this electronic work within 90 days of receiving it, you can receive a refund of the money, if any, you paid for it by sending a written explanation to the person you received the work from. If you received the work on a physical medium, you must return the medium with your written explanation. The person or entity that provided you with the defective work may elect to provide a replacement copy in lieu of a refund. If you received the work electronically, the person or entity providing it to you may choose to give you a second opportunity to receive the work electronically in lieu of a refund. If the second copy is also defective, you may demand a refund in writing without further opportunities to fix the problem. 1F4. Except for the limited right of replacement or refund set forth in paragraph 1F3, this work is provided to you as is with no other warranties of any kind, express or implied, including but not limited to warranties of merchantability or fitness for any purpose. 1F5. Some states do not allow disclaimers of certain implied warranties or the exclusion or limitation of certain types of damages. If any disclaimer or limitation set forth in this agreement violates the law of the state applicable to this agreement, the agreement shall be interpreted to make the maximum disclaimer or limitation permitted by the applicable state law. The invalidity or unenforceability of any provision of this agreement shall not void the remaining provisions. 1F6. Indemnity. You agree to indemnify and hold the foundation, the trademark owner, any agent or employee of the foundation, anyone providing copies of Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works in accordance with this agreement, and any volunteers associated with the production, promotion, and distribution of Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works, harmless from all liability, costs, and expenses, including legal fees that arise directly or indirectly from any of the following which you do or cause to occur: a distribution of this or any Project Gutenberg work; b, alteration, modification, or additions or deletions to any Project Gutenberg work; and c, any defect you cause. Section 2. Information about the mission of Project Gutenberg. Project Gutenberg is synonymous with the free distribution of electronic works in formats readable by the widest variety of computers, including obsolete, old, middle-aged, and new computers. It exists because of the efforts of hundreds of volunteers and donations from people in all walks of life. Volunteers and financial support to provide volunteers with the assistance they need are critical to reaching Project Gutenberg goals and ensuring that the Project Gutenberg collection will remain freely available for generations to come. In 2001, the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation was created to provide a secure and permanent future for Project Gutenberg and future generations. To learn more about the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation and how your efforts and donations can help, see Sections 3 and 4 and the Foundation Information page at www.gutenberg.org. Section 3. Information about the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation is a nonprofit, 501(c)(3) educational corporation organized under the laws of the state of Mississippi and granted tax-exempt status by the Internal Revenue Service. The foundation's EIN, or federal tax identification, number is 64622-1541. Contributions to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation are tax deductible to the full extent permitted by U.S. federal laws and your state's laws. The foundation's business office is located at 41 Watchung Plaza 516, Montclair, NJ 7042, USA, plus 1-862-621-9288. Email contact links and up to date contact information can be found at the foundation's website an official page at www.gutenberg.org/contact, section 4. Information about donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. Project Gutenberg trademark depends upon and cannot survive without widespread public support and donations to carry out its mission of increasing the number of public domain and licensed works that can be freely distributed in machine-readable form accessible by the widest array of equipment, including outdated equipment. Many small donations, $1 to $5,000, are particularly important to maintaining tax-exempt status with the IRS. The foundation is committed to complying with the laws regulating charities and charitable donations in all 50 states of the United States. Compliance requirements are not uniform, and it takes a considerable effort, much paperwork, and many fees to meet and keep up with these requirements. We do not solicit donations in locations where we have not received written confirmation of compliance. To send donations or determine the status of compliance for any particular state, visit www.gutenberg.org/donate. While we cannot and do not solicit contributions from states where we have not met the solicitation requirements, we know of no prohibition against accepting unsolicited donations from donors in such states who approach us with offers to donate. International donations are gratefully accepted, but we cannot make any statements concerning tax treatment of donations received from outside the United States. U.S. laws alone swamp our small staff. Please check the Project Gutenberg web pages for current donation methods and addresses. Donations are accepted in a number of other ways, including checks, online payments, and credit card donations. To donate, please visit www.gutenberg.org/donate, section 5. General information about Project Gutenberg Electronic Works. Professor Michael S. Hart was the originator of the Project Gutenberg concept of a library of electronic works that could be freely shared with anyone. For 40 years, he produced and distributed Project Gutenberg ebooks with only a loose network of volunteer support. Project Gutenberg ebooks are often created from several printed editions, all of which are confirmed as not protected by copyright in the U.S. unless a copyright notice is included. Thus, we do not necessarily keep ebooks in compliance with any particular paper edition. Most people start at our website, which has the main PG search facility, www.gutenberg.org. This website includes information about Project Gutenberg, including how to make donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, how to help produce our new ebooks, and how to subscribe to our email newsletter to hear about new ebooks.